Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
National Jewish Democratic Council find fault with that choice.
Though Henry Ford was a great industrial innovator, he was also probably the most prominent anti-Semite in American history.
Barack Obama has apologized again for saying the war in Iraq has wasted the lives of those who fought and died there. He says it's been a waste of money. Now, Lynn Sweet, columnist at the Chicago Sun-Times.
I think this is the kind of media scrutiny that Obama has not had before, where everyone seizes on every word in a big league campaign.
They were having sex like wild animals. The Lowry Park Zoo in Tampa calls it the Wild at Heart Tour. How it's more than a pig's tail that's corkscrewy, how manatees have actual orgies, how timing and care really are everything for the porcupine. They only have a four-hour window per year for procreation, and of course they are porcupines. On Wall Street, the Dow up 102 points today. The NASDAQ gained 9.5. This is CBS News.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him. And we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
An important message for motorists.
Gas is killing me.
You've suffered long enough.
Really hurts when I fill up.
Relief is on the way.
Gas, you can pay a high price. Or just grab a Rolaids Plus Soft Chew and feel better.
Rolaids Plus stops gas with the most effective anti-gas medicine available. Tums can't. Chewy, not chalky, Rolaids Plus stops heartburn and the pain and bloating of gas.
Who can afford gas? Use Rolaids Plus Gas Relief.
Use it directed.
A former CIA contractor has been sentenced to prison for the beating of an Afghan prisoner who later died. CBS's Jim Crisula.
David Pissarro was sent to prison for more than 8 years. The former Army Special Forces soldier was convicted of beating an Afghan detainee who later died. The 40-year-old Pissarro was working as a CIA contractor at the time. He's the only American civilian charged with mistreating a prisoner in either Iraq or Afghanistan.
Several police officers in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, were doing pretty much what they wanted on the job, evidently, stopping people, searching cars without making a report about it, watching movies at one officer's home while on duty. They played a little touch football one night by the light of a cruiser and, of course, caught Z's whenever they could. Five officers have either quit or been fired in a scandal there. They were done in, evidently, by a rookie who was asked to rate his training. And he did, and told the truth. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
When you look in,
there isn't one good reason to choose life insurance from Foresters. There's 17 million. Foresters, a life insurance organization, is proud to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals right across North America and the 17 million children they treat each year. Foresters partners with Children's Miracle Network, local children's hospitals, and radio stations to create inspiring fundraising events called Radiothons, raising millions for local hospitals, including UC Davis Children's Hospital. We know how important the work that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is to the Sacramento area. That is why Foresters is passionate about supporting the hospital and the children. Miracle Network. Because helping communities and children is what we're all about. As founding sponsor of Radiothon, we pay for all the administrative costs of the program. That means every dollar raised here stays here. When you choose a life insurance product from Foresters, you're providing security for your family and hope for millions of children. Foresters, proud sponsor of the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. Visit foresters.biz. Foresters, life insurance is what we do. Helping children and communities is who we are.
Studios in New York City. This is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
So, you're a cat burglar, huh? Well, I'm not really a cat person. Woof.
Welcome to the Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. It is Tuesday, the 13th of February, 2007, 6 minutes past the hour. Coming up on the show this hour, a pre-Valentine's Day announcement.
With the fine people of Michigan in front of me, and with my sweetheart at my side, I declare my intention to run for President of the United States.
this hour, we'll talk about what's really wrong with Mitt Romney. Also on the show this hour, we'll talk not about how black he is, but actually about the substance of Senator Barack Obama's presidential campaign with Melissa Harris-Lacewell, professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton University, and a woman who witnessed my near-catastrophic meltdown on the set at CNN last night. Also, we'll talk about how to combine beer and milk into a very tasty drink. It's all coming up. But first, a quick update on a few of today's top headlines, starting as we do every day here on The Rachel Maddow Show with news from Iraq and life during wartime. Today in Iraq, the targeting of mostly Shiite neighborhoods, apparently by Sunni militants, continued. Yesterday it was the Shorja marketplace in central Baghdad. Today it was a food warehouse next to a college in the Shiite neighborhood of Iskan in western Baghdad. Here's AP correspondent Kim Gamel in Baghdad.
A suicide bomber blew up the truck he was driving as he sped past a college in a mainly Shiite area in Baghdad. He drove into a group of parked cars, and the force of the explosion killed several people and also blew out the windows of neighboring warehouses.
At least 17 people killed by that bomb, more than twice that number wounded. Police also discovered an ambulance about 500 yards away from that initial bomb, an ambulance that had been rigged with explosives as well. Later today, another bomb exploded in another Shiite neighborhood in southeastern Baghdad. That other bomb killed at least four people. The U.S. military announced the death of another American soldier killed Sunday in fighting in Anbar province in western Iraq. The Democratic-led House of Representatives started their 3 days of debate on the Iraq war today. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi started things off.
The American people have lost faith in President Bush's course of action in Iraq, and they are demanding a new direction.
Nancy Pelosi starting off the House debate on the anti-escalation non-binding resolution today. But remember, every single member of the House gets 5 minutes to debate on this. Everybody gets 5 minutes to give their best on Iraq. So let's hear a little of it from the right. We will start with the right. We'll go with Lynn Westmoreland of Georgia.
Some people from the other side seem to believe that if we pull out of Iraq, that the Iraqi people are going to go back to tending sheep and herding goats. That's not what's going to happen.
See, it's the old tending sheep and herding goats argument. It's very clever from Congressman Westmoreland there. From the left, how about we go to Tim Walz, Democrat of Minnesota, on the issue of supporting the troops.
We support them by saying enough is enough with the bad planning. The president should not send more troops to Iraq for the simple reason that it will not make any difference on a deteriorating situation on the ground.
Tim Walz, Democrat of Minnesota. All right, on the right, Patrick McHenry, Republican of North Carolina.
Their Iraq resolution does not have the force of law. And in fact, this non-binding resolution is simply a mealy-mouthed attempt to appease their Democrat leftist base.
The Democrat! See, it has a rat in it. Democrat leftist base. That's us, Kent. Yes, mealy-mouthed. That's us. I wish I felt appeased. Back to the left, let's hear from Carol Shea Porter of New Hampshire.
The days of rubber stamping the president's war plans are over.
Yeah, Carol Shea Porter of New Hampshire. Democrat, clearly. You know, and if I were fair, I would end with another right-winger, because technically I started with Nancy Pelosi. But I'm not fair. I'm not balanced. I never have been. I never will be. Neener, neener. I do have one more, and it's left again from Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee.
To put more troops there, to waste more blood, and to give up more lives is simply wrong. To support our troops is to bring them home.
Steve Cohen of Tennessee, Democrat. The debate continues tomorrow, Thursday, and they will vote on Friday. I do wonder, honestly, how many Republicans are going to cross the line on this one. The rhetoric today was very, very partisan. I don't think there's going to be a ton of Republicans. They want as many as they can get. I'm not hopeful that they will get a lot. In New Orleans last night, they got tornadoes, of all things. Can't New Orleans please get a break? Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami in New Orleans.
Clearly, this storm has shaken people who live here, who can only be reminded of one of the worst storms, of course, to hit any part of the U.S., and that is Katrina. There is a lot of debris that's on the ground that people are going to have to clean up, and a lot of repairs that people have already made to their homes that they're going to have to make again.
Gentilly was one of the hardest hit neighborhoods in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina.
overnight last night, that was where the one person killed in these storms died. An elderly woman living in Judd Tilly in a FEMA trailer was killed when the trailer was hit directly by what appears to have been a tornado. A newly renovated house right next door was also destroyed. 10 or 15 buildings in all were completely blown apart, including at least one hotel. Here's Kay Wilkins from the Red Cross in New Orleans being interviewed by ABC News.
At present time, we've got about 60 people in the shelter. There was a hotel that was destroyed, and many of the people in the shelter are from that hotel.
Three firefighters in uptown New Orleans were also injured in the storms. Check this out. They are using, in this part of New Orleans, they're using FEMA trailers as their firehouse. Their firehouse was picked up and completely upended, completely turned over in the tornado. Nobody killed, but three firefighters injured. I'm supposed to be flying to New Orleans tomorrow. I was going to go do some interviews with folks in the city to air on Tuesday as part of a special show we want to do on the occasion of Mardi Gras. If all goes according to plan, the inimitable Lee Rayburn, formerly of our Air America affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin, will be filling in for me for a couple of days. He'll definitely be filling in for me tomorrow, but there is a nor'easter bearing down on the eastern seaboard right now, and I am not sure I am going to make it much further south than LaGuardia tomorrow. We shall see. This storm is really the first big one of the season for the Northeast in Cummington, Massachusetts, where I live. We're supposed to get something like a foot and a half or 2 feet with 50-mile-an-hour winds on top of it. In New York, it's snow followed by everything else freezing that falls from the sky that isn't snow, so who knows if our plane will be able to take off tomorrow. In Washington, D.C. today, in anticipation of the storm, they closed the government. I was reading that headline today when Jackie Bell walked into my office to talk about getting some lunch, and I said to her, I'm reading here they're closing the government today. She said, what government? And I said, the American government, apparently. Yeah, they closed the government of the country at 2 p.m. today. Snow day! So you remember the worst diplomat in the whole world?
John Bolton!
Our former U.N. ambassador. John Bolton became kind of a mascot on this show for a while. One easy way to grasp his skills as a diplomat is to pay attention to the successes that follow him wherever he goes. Literally, successes that follow him in that while John Bolton is actually on the scene, there can be no success. But sometimes when he finally is fired and leaves the scene, there can be progress made behind him. That's what happened with Libya and Libya's weapons program. Remember, Bolton was the top non-proliferation guy in the State Department. He was so horrendous that all the other negotiators had to send him home, literally had to put him on a plane and make him leave the country so they could sign a deal with Libya to drop its weapons program. And now, Mr. Bolton, the worst diplomat in the whole world, the angriest man in a world full of angry men, now that he's left the UN, bingo, deal with North Korea! Yay! The deal says that North Korea gets fuel oil if they seal their main nuclear reactor and allow inspections to verify that. Perhaps predictably, John Bolton is against the idea.
It sends a terrible signal to other would-be proliferators and is an indication of weakness on the administration's part.
Because deals and diplomacy are weak. They are for weak men. And I am not weak. I am not weak. I am not a weakling. I am a giant. I am a giant. I am a huge, hairy, scary beast of a man. And I will not be called weak. I wonder what John Bolton's going to do after the UN. Oh, yes, actually. I see he's become a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Those would be the people who brought you the bright idea for the surge, the escalation in Iraq, also the people offering the $10,000 bounty to anyone who will write scientific papers saying there is no such thing as global warming. That's not weak. That's tough guy stuff! Arr! Now I need to take a moment to play the swoosh sound one more time so I can transition out of my John Bolton persona. Okay? Okay. Luckily, my final story here is about dog poop. It's actually important news for you from the Alaska State Capitol in Juneau. Juneau has about 8,000 registered dogs and about 30,000 registered people, which means that there's about one dog for every four residents, give or take, of Juneau. And certain dog lovers who worked at the state capitol, including the recent governor of Alaska, Tony Knowles, and a recent House Speaker, Ramona Barnes, like to take their dogs to work with them. Now they have banned that practice. It is a firing offense now if you're a state employee to take your dog to work at the state capitol. A legislative committee decided after years of leniency on this issue that dogs could no longer be tolerated at the Capitol building. Why? An unnamed, unknown, but apparently very large dog was recently caught leaving a deposit. A large deposit right in front of the door to the elevators on the fourth floor of the Capitol building. Caught on the security camera. And that was that. Apparently they've had complaints before, but the building manager told the Associated Press that that deposit on the fourth floor caught on camera, quote, that was probably the icing on the cake. That was the quote. For better imagery, we now turn to Kent Jones.
Thanks, Rachel. A big country salute to Nashville's Mayor Bill Purcell, who yesterday vetoed an obnoxious measure that would have made English the official language of Music City, USA. Quote, this ordinance does not reflect who we are in Nashville, Purcell said. If this ordinance becomes law, Nashville will become a less safe, less friendly, and less successful city. Right, and on. As mayor, I cannot allow that to happen. The Metro Council passed this measure last week, even though opponents and supporters of the ordinance agreed it was just largely a symbolic slap at illegal immigrants. Big-hearted Councilman Eric Crafton, who sponsored the measure, said it would offer an incentive for immigrants to learn English. Well, that's crazy. The very best way to promote the language is right under their noses.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Tammy Wynette, George Jones, Merle Haggard, Nashville has the best English teachers in the world. Dance with what brung you. A new study reveals that a chemical found in male sweat can boost mood, brain activity, and sexual arousal in heterosexual women, said study leader Claire Wyatt of UC Berkeley, quote, this is the first time anyone has demonstrated that a change in women's hormonal levels is induced by sniffing an identified compound of male sweat. There is much more going on than we think when we are smelling body odor, unquote. You know, Rachel, sometimes these stories aren't targeted at either of us. Have you noticed? Later on Kent Jones Now, my musical tribute to the great state of Virginia. Get out your reel-to-reels. You're going to want to bootleg this. Rachel?
That's intriguing.
Yes, it's a teaser.
I've been alerted to the fact that there is a surprise coming from you a little later on in the show. I'm not allowed to know.
TikTok, we all must be patient.
Yeah, that's a strong suit over here. All right, 19 and a half minutes past the hour. This is the Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. We got today's front page coming up, and then a little later on this hour, I promise you, it'll be a national media interview about Barack Obama.
Wow.
With an African-American studies professor, no less, and the interview will not be about how black Barack Obama is. I promise. First time ever, it's going to happen. I promise.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is...
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
What side do you dress, sir?
It's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be down at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to sacradiothon.com and always Just remember, give me all your change.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Radio. Pop the hood. Let's see what's making that noise.
Welcome back to the Rachel Maddow Show. It's 24 minutes past the hour. Thank you for joining us. Coming up on the show today, we have the sad tale of Mitt Romney's presidential announcement gone so very wrong. We've got possibly the first national media interview ever about Barack Obama's run for the presidency that is not about how black he is. We've got Kent's inspiring tale of being gay in the NBA. It's all coming up on the show today. But first, let's wade into the old mainstream to see if there's any gold worth panning for among today's top stories.
Eureka!
The first Rachel Maddow Show front page story today is about the horrendous day of shootings across the United States yesterday. In Salt Lake City, Utah, apparently an 18-year-old kid killed 5 people and wounded 4 in a shopping mall. He eventually was shot to death by police officers. Here's a witness to that shooting.
We just heard 6 gunshots, and the police came up and told everyone to get out of the mall, and everyone was running, and we saw, as we were leaving, there was a teenager that was shot in front of Wells Fargo.
The gunman killed 2 28-year-old women, a 52-year-old man, a 24-year-old man, and a 15-year-old girl. Also, overnight in Arkansas, police say they are searching for a man they describe as heavily armed, who killed his wife, from whom he was getting a divorce, as well as his wife's mother and both her elderly grandparents. And in Philly, the Philly Inquirer reports today that a 44-year-old man from Delaware apparently set up a meeting with executives from a marketing company called ZigZag.net. He was an investor in the company. There were six people there at that meeting besides him. He brought in guns with him. He yanked all the phone lines and then tied up and shot four of the men, killing three and wounding one. He then took the other two people who'd been at the meeting, whom he had not shot, out to his car, told him he was going to drive him to New York State, where he was planning on killing another executive of the company. They somehow talked him out of that idea, so he brought them back into ZigZag headquarters, into that building in Philly. Meanwhile, the guy who he had wounded had somehow untied himself and re-spliced the phone lines and called 911. Police responded, and when they did, the killer shot himself in the head and killed himself. The wounded guy is still in critical condition. And, you know, yes, in case you're wondering, the assault weapons ban expired in 2004. So if you're outraged or scared by these horrific shooting stories in the news, you're welcome to go out and arm yourself. You know, you could buy yourself an AK-47 or an AR-15 or an Uzi or a MAC-10 submachine gun. Actually, technically, the MAC-10 is a machine pistol, much easier to conceal. And yes, the gun lobby is still assigning political litmus tests for politicians of all stripes. You can visit the right-wing blog of your choice today to see Rudy Giuliani being raked over the coals for having once said that the gun industry, gun control helped bring down crime in New York City, and for having sued the gun industry.
This lawsuit is meant to end the free pass that the gun industry has enjoyed for a very, very long time.
Sacrilege. Sacrilege. It's today's front page story. Coming up next here on The Rachel Maddow Show, the woman who witnessed my in-person near-catastrophic meltdown on the set at CNN last night. It's The Rachel Maddow Show.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
You're listening to AM 13.
Auric XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have.
Danelle Nicole.
Hey, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Woo-hoo! Winner's going to be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Good afternoon, Montana here, checking traffic and weather at AM 1320. Beating the traffic with News 10, we have a slowdown at I-5 and at J Street. Coming back, Cap City Freeway northbound just by Cal Expo. There's a three-car crash over there. Lows tonight, we're going to see 31. Highs coming up tomorrow, about 57. Scattered showers, partly cloudy, though. I don't think it's going to rain too much tomorrow. I'm a little bit excited about that. Thank you for checking traffic with News 10. Beating the traffic, News 10, at AM 1320, KCTC.
Listening to The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. Consider us Dramamine for right-wing spin.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. This is The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. Thanks for being with us. Democratic Senators Chris Dodd of Connecticut and Bob Menendez of New Jersey are co-sponsoring a bill to bring back habeas corpus protections for prisoners at Guantanamo. The bill would also ban American authorities from using evidence in terrorism cases obtained through torture or coercion. It would also require the U.S. to fully adhere to the Geneva Conventions. In other words, the bill proposes to essentially reverse the Bush administration's Military Commissions Act from last year, which stripped habeas corpus rights from terrorism prisoners. Democratic Congressman William Jefferson of Louisiana has been sued by a former stockholder of the telecom firm iGate. The lawsuit alleges that William Jefferson, his wife, and the former CEO of iGate bilked stockholders by using the company's funds to pay bribes. The allegations are similar to those in an ongoing federal investigation of Jefferson and his business dealings. Jefferson has not yet been charged, but you might remember that the FBI found $90,000 in cash in his freezer. The congressman has so far denied wrongdoing. And finally, at the NASDAQ stock market today, some folks got a chance to relive the good old technology boom days just for a couple of minutes. The NASDAQ Composite Index surged more than 3,000 points today. A one-day 3,000-point surge. Turns out it was a glitch, computer problem. Apparently, incorrectly entered trades involving shares of a pharmaceutical company accidentally caused the index to shoot up, but NASDAQ officials have since solved the problem. The question is whether or not they've solved the problem of the effect of that fake surge on the blood pressure of those people who make their living off things like that happening on the NASDAQ. So last night at CNN, I was there to do the Paul Zahn show, and I kind of lost my mind. If you read my blog at all today at MaddowOnline.com, you know this already, but I just lost it. I realize that I get to set the agenda here on my radio show, and when I go on TV, I don't get to set the agenda, and I have to talk about what TV producers want to talk about. But I just lost it. The National Intelligence Estimate says Iran isn't any big deal in Iraq. And the White House is ginning up the case for war with Iran anyway by saying, Iran's a big deal in Iraq. We get it proved to us at last that they cooked the intelligence to invade Iraq with the investigation into the Doug Feith
intelligence office. A deal is being struck with North Korea. And you know, all this stuff is happening. American soldiers are dying abroad. There's this incredible stuff happening in the world. And I am on TV again talking about some obscure college where there was a journalism scandal that's been resolved. And about whether or not Barack Obama is really black. And so I lost my mind. I lost my mind a little bit. Offset, a very smart woman named Melissa Harris Lacewell, who's a Princeton professor, witnessed my frustration, although I'm not sure she was totally aware that I was melting down. But she was like this beacon for me last night. While everything else was melting around me, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to keep it together. Melissa Harris Lacewell was on camera and Offset talking total sense about Barack Obama and his chances for the presidency. Therefore, I'm very pleased to welcome to the show my beacon, Melissa Harris-Lacewell.
That's very kind.
You didn't know that you were having that psychological effect on me last night, did you?
Well, I think you were also keeping me calm because I absolutely wanted to strangle both of the guests who were on with you. So I was just hoping that maybe we could make a little sense somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I just felt like, oh, I just want to create a little pocket of nonsense to talk about and crawl in there and go to sleep. And just, let me introduce you properly. Melissa Harris Lacewell is an associate professor of politics and African American studies at Princeton University. Her most recent book is Barbershops, Bibles, and BET, Everyday Talk and Black Political Thought. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Do you think that Barack Obama is really black? No. Yes. No, please,
yeah.
Please don't answer.
Yeah.
Yes, apparently he is black.
Actually, The Daily Show was really funny on that last night. If your listeners want to log on, because they had sort of a whole skit about how African Americans really like African art. We just don't really like Africans.
Very nice.
Very funny.
You know, I want to play a clip for you. Chris, do you have this clip queued up now? This is a clip that Barack Obama has got in trouble for a little bit, speaking about American soldiers and the war in Iraq. And he has since apologized for it, if not once, then twice. And we're going to play the clip, and I'd love to hear your reaction.
We ended up launching a war that should have never been authorized and should have never been waged, and to which we now have spent $400 billion and have seen over 3,000 lives of the bravest young Americans wasted.
Wasted is the word that got him in trouble, and he did apologize for having used that word. What do you think about that initial statement and about the fact that he apologized for it?
Well, I sort of hate that he apologized for it.
Yeah.
I keep hoping that Barack Obama will be a little bit less interested in winning and a little bit more interested in doing the whole audacity of hope thing that I was starting to get revved up about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there's something very powerful, not about saying that the effort was wasted in the sense of the young men and women who have been killed there having, you know, that they were somehow making a bad choice by being there, but instead that it is an enormous waste. I mean, if we think about each one of those lives representing potential, even from the most conservative perspective, you know, potential wage earners and taxpayers,
yeah.
And from a more human perspective, you know, at the center of communities and families, and I mean, that is a waste. It's an enormous waste to have illegally invaded another country, to have caused an enormous civil war, which is probably going to devolve into genocide, and to, in the meantime, have sent thousands of young men and women to die. That's a waste.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
And maybe, and it's one of those things where you could see him and you can imagine him and his advisor saying, is this a John Kerry moment? Because with the John Kerry botched joke, as it's become known, that was a situation where John Kerry clearly did not mean to imply what he was accused of implying, which is that only stupid people join the military. That's what they were accused him of implying. When you heard the actual clip of John Kerry saying that, it was so obvious that that's not what he meant.
Exactly.
But yet it still did all this damage to him. And he kind of apologized, and then he really apologized, and then it just became this huge distraction for something that was a non-issue. This, again, was a non-issue, and I guess it's the political calculation they made that apologizing immediately and repeatedly is the way to hope so, that something like this won't stick.
Yeah,
I think if they want to make this stick on him, they still will.
Yeah, and I think that's just, I mean, the thing that we don't have as a party is a backbone. So let's just go ahead and have one.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we'll be wrong some of the time. Apparently, the Republicans don't care one fig about being wrong most of the time. and I think there's something about this peace for Barack Obama as a post-civil rights, post-Vietnam era, that he is going to be largely reliant on, probably everyone is, but Obama in particular, largely reliant on his advisors to help him navigate lines of division which were not part of his own sort of political understanding and maturity. And I think they led him wrong on this one. I don't think you apologize for that one. I think you just explain again why it is such a waste of American life.
You mean that he's not used to navigating national high-profile political waters, and so he's going to have to rely, or at least it looks like he already is relying on political consultants who have done campaigns before in order to steer him about what to do on stuff like this.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, my new I have sort of two things that I think will get Barack Obama elected president. The first thing is that, you know, I'm a Chicagoan, so just like the Chicago Bears have got to fire Rex Grossman if they're ever going to win the Super Bowl, I think he's probably got to get rid of his senior strategist, get some folks in there who are better at creating the soundbite language, the racial language, and a clarity of vision about policy that can be repeated. Mm. Not that he doesn't have that clarity of vision, but he doesn't have the soundbite for it, which really works in American politics. And I think the other thing that will get him elected is that we've got to draft Condi Rice to run for president on the right.
Because then it takes Black out of the equation?
Because then Black's out, and it's just like the Alan Keyes, Barack Obama race, except that Condi is certainly much more sane than Alan Keyes, but it takes race out, and it connects her with the Bush administration and the war in Iraq, and then we win.
Yeah, if we have Barack versus Condi, we can just call it
you
over now.
I live for this.
That would be beautiful. But listen, let me ask you, as a Chicagoan, as somebody who has seen his career before he became a senator, he was in the Illinois State Senate. He was a local activist in the community organizer. He described himself in Chicago. Do you feel like there's anything in his political history and what you know about him as a politician to suggest that he might go a little maverick, that he might dump the political consultants, that he might, you know, stop apologizing for things that weren't wrong to say?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Barack Obama, and you have to be a little tiny bit of a Chicago insider to know this, but not a huge one, but a little bit of one. Barack Obama came up against the Daily Machine in Chicago.
Mm.
Now, the Daily Machine, which is very smart and nimble, has since embraced him, but he was running outside of being blessed by either the sort of white ethnic machine or also the Black arm of that machine. In fact, in the primaries leading up to the Democratic nomination for the Illinois Senate, African-American preachers all across the city who have deep connections with the Daley administration were telling their parishioners not to vote for Barack Obama,
wow,
but to vote for some of the machine candidates who happened to have had some scandals that knocked them out. So actually he is, from his own sort of political milieu, a maverick who came up against the machine, against the traditional Operation Push, Jesse Jackson campaign areas there. So I think he has the capacity. He's just got to be brave enough to do it.
I wonder if there's less tolerance in American politics for a maverick African-American politician, though, that I wonder if there's something, if there's a fear factor for white voters with Black politicians where we want them to seem very conservative.
I think that could be true, but there's another thing that goes on a lot of times with white Americans and Black leaders, and that is that African-Americans are sometimes thought to be the kind of moral litmus test,
yeah,
of the nation. So not that he can turn into, nor should he even try to turn into, Martin King, for example,
mm-hmm,
but there's a way in which African Americans speaking truth to power is a normal and expected position for Blacks to take. Doesn't mean that it is the electoral coalition success possibility.
Yeah.
But I do think he's got to start thinking about how to build an electoral coalition that's going to look different than the one that, for example, a Hillary Clinton would build.
Actually,
his is going to have to be a bit of a maverick coalition to even exist.
And maybe dumping the consultants at this point is the path.
I'd fire him, but you know.
Well, you know, if we keep talking like this on Air America, every once in a while something happens. Melissa Harris-Lacewell, it was really nice to meet you last night. Thank you for saving me, even if you didn't know that you did. And great to have you on the show today. Looking forward to having you back.
Oh, thanks so much. I look forward to being back.
Thanks. Melissa Harris-Lacewell is an associate professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton University. Her latest book is Barbershops, Bibles, and BET, Everyday Talk and Black Political Thought. She's got a website, melissaharrislacewell.com, that we will link to today at NattoOnline.com. Kent Jones joins me next.
You're listening to The Rachel Maddow Show.
What are you people? On dope?
On Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday afternoon.
Northbound Cap City Freeway at El Camino Avenue. There's a vehicle up on the right-hand side stopping traffic down. However, a pedestrian looks like he might be out of gas, so slow down for that. He's just on the right-hand side. Westbound I-80 just east of Truxell Road is a vehicle on the right-hand side. In North Country Drive at Gray Wolf Drive in North Sac, we have a hit and run. No injuries, but it looks like emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. I'm Lisa and Montana at AM 1320 KCTC. Honey!
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
52 minutes past the hour.
From the Rachel Maddow Show, now it's Kent Jones Now. With Kent Jones Now.
Hello, Dateline California. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Bank of America has begun offering credit cards to customers without social security numbers, i.e., illegal immigrants. Hmm. The new Bank of America card is available to people who lack both a social security number and a credit history, as long as they have held a checking account with the bank for 3 months without an overdraft, the journal said. So, leave those old-fashioned thrifty savings habits behind, amigo, and join us in the wonderful world of North American debt. Now, you're truly one of us. Bienvenidos. Rachel?
Usury! It's the American way.
Come to America and be buried in debt.
It's now time to wade back into the old mainstream.
Eureka!
To see if there's any further gold worth panning for among today's top stories. First story on the front page today was about those all those shootings yesterday, horrific shootings. Second story on the front page today is about the grand political belly flop that was Mitt Romney's announcement that he's running for president.
With the fine people of Michigan in front of me, and with my sweetheart at my side, I declare my intention to run for president of the United States.
You know, it's every single person I have heard hear that, I've seen hear that clip, anybody who I've watched while that clip was playing today has shuddered at the same time. It just makes your skin crawl.
Yeah.
You know, I think that America is not at risk of a Mitt Romney presidency.
Me either.
Yeah. I think it's possible that a Republican might tap him as a vice presidential candidate if they had somebody at the top of the ticket who needs to be balanced out by really great hair. You know, like
you could argue that's everyone in American politics,
right.
But anyway.
Like Congressman Jerry Lewis, if he was running for president, they would need Mitt Romney to balance him out in the hair department.
Mitt Romney's hair is way better than Giuliani's.
Oh my God.
Just saying.
Yeah. So he could be a hair balancer, but I really don't think he's going to. First of all, he left office in Massachusetts as my governor, as the third most hated governor in all of America. He's ranked 47 out of 50 in terms of how citizens felt about their governors. Second, he was chair of the Republican Governors Association. He was in charge of electing Republicans to governorships this past November.
Oh.
How'd that go, Mitt? Maybe you should ask your hand-picked Republican successor in your own home state, who lost by 20-some-odd points to Deval Patrick. But, you know, the thing is, Mitt Romney does not want you to think of him as being from Massachusetts, John Kerry, liberals, gay marriage. Nor does he want you to think of him as being from the state where he really mostly is from, which is Utah, obvious problem. Mm-hmm. No, he wants you to think of him as being from Michigan, a state he has not lived in since he was 17.
I'm very confused.
Yeah, he announced today his presidential campaign at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan today, hoping that the media would report only that technically, yes, he was born in Michigan, and that they wouldn't also report that he hasn't lived there since high school.
Yeah.
Are you know, hoping that the media would report that his dad was a Detroit auto executive, and not that they would dig a little deeper and actually report that his dad was the Detroit auto executive responsible for bringing us the punchline cars of all American car jokes, the AMC Pacer, the Gremlin, the Eagle Wagon. Those were Mitt's dad's cars.
Nice.
He was the AMC guy with those cars. And of course, the campaign is hoping that the media would report only on the first thing you think about when you hear the name Henry Ford, which of course is the Ford car company, and not the second thing you think of when you hear Henry Ford. That would be his promotion of the protocols of the elders of Zion and the fact that he was perhaps America's most legendary anti-Semite and that he was given the Grand Service Cross of the Supreme Order of the German Eagle by Adolf Hitler himself.
Wow.
Yes.
Built Ford tough.
You factor in the pictures from his announcement today of Mitt in this museum, and it looks like he's being strafed by an airplane hanging from the ceiling behind him. It was just, it was a belly flop. I couldn't be happier, honestly. They commissioned a commuter jet to fly media into the announcement. Apparently, lots of empty seats. This is as much announcement energy you're ever going to get, Mitt. So sorry. The Rachel Maddow Show.
This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Australian Prime Minister John Howard, George Bush's best friend on the international stage, says that Al-Qaeda is rooting for Barack Obama's election as president. Indeed, the Australian is claiming that the Illinois senator's campaign for the Democratic nomination could, in and of itself, destabilize the war on terror. Why is Howard so concerned about Barack Obama? Why is he attacking this Democrat when other Democrats are much more critical of the war in Iraq and the Bush administration's policies around the world? Could it have something to do with the fact that John Howard opposed sanctions against apartheid in South Africa, ran campaigns that exploited race and anti-immigrant sentiments throughout his political career in Australia, and, according to Australian parliamentarian Sylvia Hale, quote, always plays the race card for political advantage, unquote. Learn more about John Howard's attacks on Barack Obama and how they are tied to George Bush's policies at thenation.com.
Me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's gonna be gone at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Debate begins on the new strategy in Iraq.
I am opposed to a troop surge that doubles down on a bad military debt.
Snow and ice from the Midwest to the East.
This is a major winter storm which is directly affecting the weather in 30 states.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. As the Iraqi general in charge of Baghdad announced his plans for a security crackdown with U.S. help, the House opened debate today on the Democrats' Iraq War resolution.
Democratic Speaker Nancy Pelosi kicked off the historic debate, which will end Friday with the House taking a vote of no confidence in President Bush's Iraq plans.
It is based on a judgment that the way out of Iraq lies in sending more troops in. Our experience in Iraq has proven just the opposite.
Republican leader John Boehner said this non-binding resolution sends a terrible message to America's enemies.
Do we really believe that if we pack up now, if we abandon Iraq and leave the country in chaos, that our enemies are just going to lay down their arms and leave us alone?
The long debate allows every member to speak for 5 minutes, and Senate Leader Harry Reid says after the House passes it, the Senate will try to take it up. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
From Baghdad, CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has details on the plan to stop the violence.
The Iraqi commander announced the country's borders with Iran and Syria will be closed, but it isn't clear how. They're porous borders, and Iraq lacks enough guards to secure them. Another measure extends the nightly curfew in Baghdad, but only by 1 hour. Lieutenant General Abood Gambar also indicated troops may enter mosques during the security operations if they deem necessary. These operations, which could last weeks, are Iraqi-led, but will involve part of the surge of American troops President Bush called for. Many will man combat outposts with the Iraqis throughout the city.
CBS News has learned that radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has gotten out of Dodge. He quietly fled to Iran some weeks ago. Osama bin Laden's deputy weighs in.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah.
In a new video, Ayman al-Zawahiri says President Bush was an alcoholic who's now addicted to lying and gambling. He says the troop surge in Iraq is a gamble that's bound to fail. Now this.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? It doesn't have to. The answer is Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep, I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
The season's latest weather system has something for just about everyone east of the Mississippi.
This storm has produced every possible weather event that can be associated with a winter storm. That includes freezing rain, sleet, snow, heavy rain, high winds, flooding, severe thunderstorms, and tornadoes.
Dennis Felchin of the National Weather Service. The storm's already disrupted travel across the Midwest. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers is in Chicago.
It isn't the half foot of snow here or even the 10 inches in western Indiana. That just makes things messy. It's the wind howling across the Midwest at 40 miles an hour. That turned a simple snowstorm into a blizzard, very nearly bringing one of the nation's busiest airports to a standstill. More than 750 flights into and out of O'Hare were canceled, which in turn cripples air traffic from coast to coast. O'Hare may be back to normal tomorrow, but airports to the east are in the storm's path.
Forecasters say interior New England can expect a full-blown blizzard with up to 2 feet of snow. Vice President Cheney will not be called to testify at the trial of his former chief of staff, Scooter Libby, and the defense made known today that Libby won't take the stand either. Risky, says CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
This, I think, is a huge gamble for the defense after Libby's attorneys during opening statements promised that jurors would become convinced that this case was all about their client's bad memory, a mistake. So far, we've heard precisely one defense witness make that claim, and I'm not sure that's going to be enough to gain an acquittal for Libby.
Kansas has been the target of ridicule since it imposed school science guidelines that questioned evolution. Today, the State Board of Education repealed those guidelines. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
But it has been a busy week in Washington. The release of the Iraq Study Group's report. The 142-page document was delivered this morning to a visibly awake President Bush.
I want to thank James Baker and Lee Hamilton and the panel members for spending a lot of time on this really difficult issue. And I thank you for coming in to the White House today to give me a copy of this report.
Gesture. They know I wouldn't have time to go to the Barnes & Noble pick up. It was convenient. Brought it to me. Although, audiobook would have been nicer.
By the way, it is in book form and entitled The Way Forward, A New Approach. A stark contrast to the book Bush had been operating from, deeper and deeper into the hole that I myself have dug.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Studios in New York City. Live. This is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
Looks like those clowns in Congress did it again. What a bunch of clowns.
Welcome to the Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. It is Tuesday, the 13th of February, 2007, 6 minutes past the hour. Coming up on the show this hour, the real trouble with the record U.S. trade deficit. No Batman is apparently the problem. Not enough Batman, or at least not enough Batman equipment. We'll have more on that in just a moment. Emphasis on more on. Also on the show this hour, our weekly segment, Ask a Vet, where you can call up and talk with a veteran of the Iraq War. Our effort to try to get the voices of the people who have actually been there on the front lines into the national debate about the war. Today's veteran is Marissa Souza, who served with the tank unit in Baghdad. Every week we co-sponsor Ask a Vet along with our friends at Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA.org. I'll tell you in just a moment when to call to join the conversation with our vet this week. Plus, we'll talk about why a good set of rabbit ears can still improve your TV reception. It's all coming up. But first, a quick update on a few of today's top headlines, starting as we do every day here on The Rachel Maddow Show, with news from Iraq and life during wartime. Suicide bombs and car bombs targeting Shiites continued today in Iraq. I talked last hour about bombings today that took at least 21 lives in Baghdad. Shia Muslim residents of Baghdad have been telling reporters there that the few increased checkpoints in Baghdad recently have done a great job creating massive traffic tie-ups, but they aren't effective like the Mahdi Army Shiite militia is at actually stopping violent attacks in Shiite neighborhoods. There have been some crossed wires, of course, about this security plan for Baghdad that's supposed to herald the escalation of American troop numbers and the arrival of the new U.S. military leadership. The U.S. military last week announced that the increased security plan in Baghdad was already underway. Meanwhile, the Iraqi prime minister is still telling audiences all over and near Baghdad that the security plan has yet to begin. So much for the whole partnering with the Iraqis to secure Baghdad thing. There also appear to be some continued crosswires within the U.S. military on the subject of whether or not we are going to blame Iran for attacks on American troops in Iraq. Here's AP correspondent Mark Smith.
Though the White House said it's confident the Iranian regime was behind the deadly armor-piercing bombs, Joint Chiefs Chairman Peter Pace tells reporters nothing he's seen implicates Iranian leaders. But Press Secretary Tony Snow says a unit attached to Iran's Revolutionary Guards is responsible.
Who wrote the orders? We're not going to be able to tell you who signed the orders. But we do know that the Iranian government at that level has been involved.
Critics say the missing link sounds awfully familiar from an administration that said it knew Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Yesterday, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, was in Australia. You may recall us talking about the fact on the show that he told reporters there in Australia that he couldn't verify any of the allegations made against Iran in that weird briefing over the weekend with the anonymous military briefers, where they wouldn't give their rank and they wouldn't give their name and we weren't allowed to know anything about them. And they said the Iranian government at the highest levels is directing weapons into Iraq to be used against U.S. troops. The briefing, incidentally, that's the briefing that most of the Iraqi press corps walked out of in the middle of it in disgust. Today, General Peter Pace brought up the subject again with reporters in Indonesia. He's apparently traveling in that part of the world. He said today, quote, "I would not say by what I know that the Iranian government clearly knows or is complicit," end quote. You can bet that the White House is ginning up a strategy right now to keep Peter Pace in places like Indonesia and Australia in the hopes that no American news agencies can actually get him on tape saying this sacrilegious stuff that's going to screw up their war plans. You ready for this? Your this doesn't make a lick of sense, Iraq news of the day? I mean, other than the fact that nothing in Iraq makes a lick of sense because we never should have gone there in the first place. Today's Iraq headline that made me go, is this. Quote, "Iraq borders with Syria and Iran to close." Okay. Here's why that doesn't make sense to me. You get into the article a little bit and it says they're closing the borders between Iraq and Iran and Iraq and Syria for 3 days. And then they're opening them back up again. They're just closing them for 72 hours, like for scheduled maintenance? I don't know. The Iraqi government announced that it is doing that today in order to help with security in Baghdad. They think it will make a difference in Baghdad security to have 72 hours of closed borders hundreds of miles away from Baghdad. I'm not a planner on these sorts of things, but that seems weird and set off my something doesn't smell right here meter just so you know. In just a few minutes here on the Rachel Maddow Show, it's time for Ask a Vet, our weekly segment that we do with Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America to get the voices of folks who have actually been there on the front lines, the voices of the troops front and center in the national debate about the war. The number to call to get in on that conversation, in case you want to get it into your speed dial, is 866-303-2270. That will be coming up a little later on this hour. But if you want something to chew on about vets' issues in the meantime, consider this Associated Press article today, which crunches the numbers in Bush's budget request and finds that the president is calling for a cut in funding for veterans' health care starting in 2009. So starting 2 years from now, he wants the actual funding available for veterans' health care to go down. The VA medical budget has risen every year for two decades, and while George W. Bush has been president, it has risen 83%. But the math geniuses,
the math doesn't work,
in the White House think that we'll be able to start cutting veterans off in terms of health care, paring it back a little bit, starting right around the time that George W. Bush leaves the White House. Wow. Sad news today concerning Charlie Norwood, the Republican congressman from Georgia. You may recall at the start of the State of the Union address this year, President Bush did, I think, a good thing by when he acknowledged both Senator Tim Johnson and Congressman Charlie Norwood of Georgia, both of whom were unable to attend the State of the Union for health reasons. I think that before that point, a lot of people had heard about Tim Johnson's brain surgery. It was a big political issue, for one, because it called into question the political control of the Senate. But at that time, I don't think very many people, myself included, knew that Charlie Norwood was gravely ill. Here today was Congresswoman Ileana Rosletinen of Florida announcing today in the House of Representatives that Congressman Norwood had died.
I have been informed by House leaders that our colleague, Congressman Charlie Norwood, has passed away. And I would ask our colleagues to join me as we rise in a moment of silent prayer for Charlie.
Charlie Norwood was 65 years old. He had idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. He also had non-small cell lung cancer. He decided last week to forego further treatment, and he went home to Georgia for hospice care. This past summer, I remember Kent and I talking on this show about news that the nation of Zimbabwe had decided to introduce a $100,000 bill. Not a $100,000 bar, but literally a banknote worth $100,000 in Zimbabwean dollars. Remember this story? They had to do it because inflation was somewhere on the order of 1,000%, and a loaf of bread was about $70,000. So they had to come up with bigger banknotes because people were literally having to use suitcases to bring enough money to the grocery store to buy a cup of coffee. Today, they have announced that Zimbabwe has topped the 1,000% inflation that made necessary the $100,000 bill. Their new record inflation rate is 1,600%, which means that the cost of a loaf of bread or any consumer item at this rate of inflation will increase 17-fold in 1 year. Who even knew that 17-fold was a year? I mean, it was a word, let alone that it could happen to something in a year. A little follow-up to the yay John Edwards didn't fire his bloggers story from last week. You might remember this little political scandal. Right-wing nut jobs like Bill Donahue from the Catholic League telling John Edwards that he had to fire his bloggers. And John Edwards said, no thanks, I'm keeping them. And I applauded that decision by John Edwards on this show last week. Today, a little follow-up on that, is that one of the two bloggers who was embroiled in that controversy quit anyway, saying that she felt like she had become a distraction for the campaign and she felt like she wasn't able to get her work done because she was too worried about being a continued distraction. Honestly, in political terms, I hope that the other blogger stays on as a staffer, mainly just as a matter of principle and strategy, because you cannot let these creeps taste the blood in the water or their frenzy becomes all the more energetic. Speaking of petty campaign politics, yesterday, as Kent reported, was Darwin Day, Charles Darwin's birthday. Fittingly, the issue of teaching evolution as if it's science was back on the agenda at the Kansas State School Board today. We're just getting word, actually, within the last few minutes, that the Kansas State Board of Education did decide today to repeal Their guidelines questioning evolution, which had made the state an object of ridicule. The new guidelines reflect scientific views of evolution and represent kind of a one last big kick in the teeth for the intelligent design flying spaghetti monster people. So that's good news. But the connection to presidential politics here is that John McCain's campaign has announced that he is going to be the keynote speaker next week at the most prominent creationist think tank in the country next week. John McCain is going to be the keynote speaker at the Discovery Institute, the headquarters of the Don't Teach Evolution, Teach the Bible Instead movement, going to be hosting the Straight Talk Express. Those are my top stories this hour. But for sports, firing, skidding, cheating, and outing, here's Kent Jones.
Thanks, Rachel. In football, San Diego Chargers coach Marty Schottenheimer led his team to a 14-2 record this season, the best in the AFC, and for all his hard work and dedication, he was fired yesterday.
Oh.
Team president Dean Spanos cited a dysfunctional situation between Schottenheimer and general manager A.J. Smith. Not coincidentally, Marty's all-time record in the playoffs is 5-13. As they said in Glengarry Glen Ross, always be closing. In college basketball, after its first four-game losing skid in 11 years, Duke fell out of the AP Top 25 poll yesterday for the first time since the end of the 1995-96 season.
Wow.
The Blue Devils had been parked in the AP poll for 200 straight weeks, the second longest streak behind UCLA. This Missouri fan says, Duke, welcome to my world. In NASCAR, officials suspended the crew chiefs for Big Shot drivers Matt Kenseth, Casey Connie, Scott Riggs, and Elliott Sadler, and docked all four drivers' points before Sunday's Daytona 500 for failing inspections. Inspectors discovered illegal holes in their wheel wells and modifications that allowed air to leak out of the trunk area, which apparently improves the dynamics. Aerodynamics. I have to try that on my 74 Gremlin, designed by Mitt Romney's dad.
That's exactly right.
And finally, in the wake of last week's revelation by former NBA player John Amici of England that he is gay and that he is publishing a book about it, outspoken slash kind of kooky Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban reportedly said that coming out would be a shrewd business move. Quote, if you're a player who happens to be gay and you want to be incredibly rich, then you should come out, because it would be the best thing that ever happened to you from a marketing and an endorsement perspective.
What?
You'll be an absolute hero to more Americans than you can ever possibly be as an athlete, and that'll put money in your pocket. Unquote. I like your optimism, Mark. Imagine all the kids from the playground lining up to buy the new gay Jordans. That would be progress, Rachel?
Gay Jordans is very good.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
what he's talking about, though.
I have not been let in on this be gay and be a hero and make lots of money from it thing.
Get paid.
Get paid to be out. Okay.
Gay for
Does
pay.
Does it only happen if you come out after you're no longer doing the thing that you were otherwise famous for?
I don't know.
Because I could go back in the closet right now and come out later.
If you were a gay basketball player and scored 45 points a game, well, you know, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
See, I could go back in the closet, and then I could come out as the talk radio host who bravely came out facing the homophobia of the talk radio world, and then I would get money, apparently.
Do you hear it? Ka-ching!
Yeah.
Ka-ching!
I don't hear it.
That's people writing big checks for Rachel.
I don't hear it.
I'm not hearing it. Make it louder.
20 minutes past the hour. Ask Dr. Maddow next.
You're listening to The Rachel Maddow Show.
Obviously, the violence in Baghdad is still terrible.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Find links to today's top news stories at Rachel's blog, maddowonline.com.
It's the Morning Retort with...
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with, like, a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are any time minutes?
Well, they're like any time minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's any weenie.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at MetroPCS.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
How many chucks would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? It's time for Ask Dr. Maddow. Rachel Maddow is a doctor. Just not that kind of doctor.
So Dr. Rachel Maddow is perhaps best known as the world's leading authority on pacers, gremlins, and the Eagle Wagon.
Woohoo!
Her greatest joy comes from sharing her vast trove of general knowledge with our smooth-handling listeners. So if there's something you've been dying to know, give us a call. 212-871-8173. And remember, leave your full name and address so you can be eligible for fabulous prizes at the end of the week. Today's question comes from Patricia in Montana, who asks, why do woodpeckers peck wood?
Not to mention the woodchuckers and the... No, that's not right. No. They want to get to the insects that are hiding underneath the bark, and so they're pecking through the bark. Woodpeckers... Oddly, and I think surprisingly, given how much of a racket they make, woodpeckers have an amazing sense of hearing, and they can hear bugs crawling around under the bark of a tree, and they want to eat them.
Wait a minute. They hear the bugs under the bark.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
And if they can also feel the vibrations of bugs
That's
under the bark.
That's really cool.
So then they peck through the bark to get to them. Interestingly, the woodpecker's brain is, of course, subjected to hundreds of pounds of force while it's pecking, but the brain stays relatively safe because it has kind of, for a bird, it has a thick skull with a relatively spongy bone that acts as a cushion for its little bird brain.
And lovely red hair,
yes,
if I may say. Thank you, Patricia. Remember, if you have a question for Dr. Maddow, call us, 212-871-8173, or send us an email at maddowonline.com for Ask Dr. Maddow.
Thank you very much, Kent. Thank you very much, Patricia. Today's Burying the Lead story comes on the day that the government reported that we now have a record trade deficit for a fifth consecutive year, and actually our trade imbalance with China soared to the highest level ever for an individual country.
Oof.
And that means that everything we buy is made in China,
yeah,
and nothing they buy is made here.
Right.
Actually, nothing that anybody buys is made here. But don't worry, there is a solution. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson announced today that he has appointed a new deputy to oversee high-level talks with China, and he will set up a telephone hotline connecting this man with the Chinese vice premier. The problem is not that we've destroyed our manufacturing sector, but that we didn't have a bat phone connecting our two governments before.
Yes, Commissioner.
That's going to help. As long as we can have our high-level communications instantly on red phones, then the trade deficit will, be at something that's we've distracted you from? I don't know. Maybe bat phones can solve real problems.
That unfamiliar sound is...
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
February 23rd, at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to sacradiothon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio, America's Democracy Instruction Manual.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. This is The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. No, I don't have a cold. I just yelled myself hoarse while I was impersonating John Bolton in the first segment of the show this evening. It's 34 minutes past the hour. We're going to be doing Ask a Vet in just a moment. If you want to get on the line, the number to call is 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. We're going to be speaking with former Staff Sergeant Marissa Souza in just a moment. Before we start that interview, before we start taking your calls, though, I do want to give you a couple of headlines that we've had our eyes on. Number one, the former number three official at the CIA was indicted today, Dusty Fago. Was charged with fraud, conspiracy, and money laundering, charges stemming from the same corruption probe that landed former Republican Congressman Duke Cunningham in jail. The indictment was handed down by a federal grand jury in San Diego today. It apparently names both Dusty Fago and his close friend, defense contractor Brent Wilkes. In a separate indictment, Wilkes was also charged with conspiring to bribe Duke Cunningham in return for government contracts. Dusty Fago spent 25 years with the CIA, the number three official at the CIA. Last year, he denied any wrongdoing in connection with this case, and he said all contracts that he oversaw were properly handled. CNN.com right now is posting a news alert that they have not yet elaborated on, which says that Muqtada al-Sadr, who is heads up the Mahdi army, the big Shiite militia in Iraq, the militant Shiite Iraqi cleric, CNN says today that Muqtada al-Sadr has left Iraq and has been in Iran for at least 2 weeks. That's word from unnamed senior U.S. administration sources talking to CNN. Sources close to Muqtada al-Sadr deny that he is in Iran, but this, of course, is yet another wrinkle in the let's blame Iran for everything going wrong in Iraq circus that we're all attending these days. Finally, Vice President Dick Cheney will not be taking the stand in the perjury and obstruction of justice trial of his former chief of staff, Scooter Libby. Libby's defense attorney had announced back in December that he planned to call the vice president as a witness, but today he says he told Cheney's lawyer over lunch that Cheney's testimony will not be needed. Libby's lawyer also says that Scooter Libby himself will not be taking the stand in his own defense. Scooter Libby, of course, is accused of lying and obstructing the investigation into the 2003 leak of CIA operative Valerie Plame Wilson's identity. Those are some of the stories we're keeping an eye on today. Our next guest served in the U.S. Army for 7 years. She spent 14 months in Iraq, and she left the Army, she says, because Bush got reelected. Marissa Souza is a former staff sergeant. She joins us today for Ask a Vet, which we bring you in partnership with our friends at Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. It's our chance to give you the chance to connect directly with veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. If you want to get in on this conversation, the number to call is 866-303-2270. It's toll-free, 866-303-2270. Marissa, it's very nice to meet you.
Very nice to finally talk to you, Rachel. I'm a big fan of your show.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You know,
flattery
will get you everywhere.
Yeah.
With me, at least. I'm a big softie. I am curious about what you told Lucy Kerrigan, a producer for this discussion earlier today. You said that part of the reason you didn't reenlist is because of Bush getting reelected. Is that really true?
That is 100% true.
How did that happen? How did you make that decision?
Well, pretty much stems from 2000, how that, you know, that whole election was pretty much botched. And I was actually part of the first invasion going into Iraq because I was a chemical weapons specialist. And lo and behold, you know, no WMDs were found. So I pretty much made the made a pledge to myself that if in 2004 he got reelected, I was going to get out of the Army. And that's exactly what happened, and that's why I'm no longer in the military.
As a chemical weapons specialist, did that mean that you were specifically, part of your job was specifically supposed to be looking for chemical weapons and then handling them once they were found? Yeah.
Yes. Everything. I mean, pretty much if they were used, we were there to decontaminate. If we found them, we were there to remove them. We were also there to look for them. And apparently I didn't have a job after 4 months because then I was sent back to Fort Hood. And then, you know, a few months later, I went back to Iraq in with 1st Cav, 1st Cav Division out of Fort Hood, Texas.
When you first went over there, did you fully expect that you would be finding chemical weapons? Did you think that that part of your training was really going to be what you were going to end up doing day to day?
If that were the case that Iraq and Saddam did have WMDs, I thought that I would, but I was always skeptical.
Really?
I mean, after the sanctions and, you know, everything else, I knew that there was no way that he had, you know, WMDs, weapons of mass destruction.
When you went back to Iraq, you were there for 4 months with the initial invasion, then you came back to Fort Hood, and then you went back. What were you working on when you went back?
We were pretty much just leftovers. So what they did was I was in a chemical company, which is pretty much everybody in the company is chemical weapons specialists. And they weren't supposed to take my company with them, but they needed the people, obviously.
Mm.
And so what they did was they just divided up my company, which was comprised of about 5 platoons, and they just stuck every platoon with a different unit. The unit that I went to was a 1-8 Cav, which was a tank battalion, and pretty much I did what every male tanker does. I went out on patrols. We did, you know, raids. We were ambushed a few times. You know, it was the day-to-day life of pretty much a grunt, except, you know, me being a female and how people were saying that females weren't there and, you know, they weren't on the front lines. Well, that was all pretty much a lie. I mean, you know, we were.
Is there any distinction at all between what women were allowed, at least you and other women who you worked with, was there any distinction between what you were allowed to do and ordered to do versus the males who you worked with?
No, there was actually, it was me and two other females that were in my platoon that were under me because I was a staff sergeant.
Yeah.
And we did pretty much the same thing. I mean, we actually had additional females with us to be part of the search team, which is what a lot of the females out there were doing at the time. They would go for raids and they would do searches of the females. But because we were three females that were attached to this all-male unit, we were actually used as, let's say, like males. You know, we actually had additional females with us for a search team. And so we weren't the ones searching the females, even though there were three females. We were pretty much, you know, we did everything else. We searched the rooms. We searched the males. Except, you know, when we had other females, myself and the two other females, we didn't have time to search the females because we had other missions that we had to accomplish.
I gotcha. So you've been back since March 2005?
Yes, it'll be 2 months, or excuse me, 2 years next month.
I got it. I imagine, with 7 years in the Army, I imagine that you probably still know a lot of people who are there right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, my fiancé, he's there right now.
Wow. Is he in Baghdad? Where is he?
He's actually in Baghdad at Fob Prosperity, which is right by the Green Zone, or right in the Green Zone.
Do you, does him being there right now change how it feels for you to be back? How, I mean, I imagine that it must bring a lot of stuff back.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That's exactly what it does. It brings me back to where I was 2 years ago. And it makes it a lot harder for myself because I know what it was like over there. So it's, I'm just not living life as, let's say, a military spouse, or not so much a military spouse because he's my fiance, but it's because I know more. So I guess I'm just privy to information that, you know, not the average dependent or military spouse or a loved one would understand or know about what it's like over there in Iraq right now.
Yeah. In case you're just joining us, our guest is Marissa Sousa, who's a former staff sergeant, served with the 1-8 Cav tank unit in Baghdad. She's been back since March 2005. And this is Ask a Vet. This is something that we do every week here with Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. If you'd like to get in on this conversation, this is your chance to ask a direct question from somebody who's actually been there. The number to call is 866-303-2270. Marissa, we've already got a bunch of people on the line. I'm going to be rude and ask one more question myself before we go to other people's calls.
That's fine.
And that's just, and you alluded to this a little bit about how your fiance being there right now brings you back to what it was like when you first arrived back. I wonder how the initial transition was for you when you first arrived, and how hard that was for you.
You mean my initial, from when I...
When you first,
from the military?
Yeah, when you came back in 05.
Well, I mean, it was pretty much, to begin with, it was the little things. When you're over in Iraq, you spend, even if it's just 4 months or a year, your whole way of thinking about life is completely different. Your main objective is survival. And so when you come back, you realize that, going from, where you have to think about yourself and think about the people around you, 24/7 for 365 days, to come back where, it's privileged when you come back. You're allowed to drive your car. You don't have to ride with two other cars with you.
Yeah.
And then it's the small things like occasionally, I still live in Texas, so there's roadkill all over the place. And, occasionally I find myself dodging roadkill or,
'cause you're worried
that it
might...
4th of July. Yeah, 4th of July is difficult. The fireworks.
Yeah.
I live so close to Fort Hood still, and when they have ranges and they're testing the artillery, it shakes my house, it shakes me. It's still a transition that I go through every day.
Marissa Sousa is our guest. Marissa, we've got a ton of people on the line who want to talk to you. We're going to go first to Barbara in Washington State. Barbara, thank you for calling. You had a question for Marissa Sousa?
Hello, Sergeant. May I say Marissa?
Yes, that's fine. I'm no longer a sergeant, so
okay.
Marissa is fine.
I entered law enforcement in 1968 at a time when they didn't want women out there. And I was wondering what kind of stresses the women were under in the military to, it almost is a competition, I guess, with men. We used to have to be twice as good as the men just to get by.
Hmm. Well, that's true, and being that I was a staff sergeant, I was pretty high up in the ranks myself, and also I'm a female, and I was attached to an all-male unit. So, of course, there was that initial, you have to prove yourself, which, I was used to it. I was in the military for 7 years before, I was even in Iraq. So, it was actually a funny story. The first night that I went out, or the first day that I went out, we actually got, we had an IED go off in our sector, and I was the first one, believe it or not, to step up to the plate. And you as a woman, you understand that we are resilient. We handle stress a lot, a lot better than men do. So, after that initial attack that, I was involved in, I pretty much had the upper hand, and I gained the respect of that of every male in my unit after that.
We're going to go next to Jean in New Jersey. Jean, thank you very much for calling. You had a question for Marissa Sousa?
Oh, yes, I do. Hi, Marissa Sousa and Rachel.
Hi.
I was just wondering, I salute you as being over. I support the troops. I love my country. How do you feel about all this missing money that's going on now with the contracting in Baghdad? Because now it's almost like we got soldiers stealing money from the American government, which is coming out of your taxes.
Jean, thank you for the call.
I'm first, with the missing billions in Iraq, I really don't think that this, I'm not going to say soldiers didn't steal, I'm not going to say soldiers did steal, but if they did, it was probably a minute amount. I mean, you have to think of the contractors. There's no oversight. You know, the people that the administration put into place to take care of that and handle that were, you know, people that weren't qualified to begin with, as long as they voted Republican to begin with. Mm. Those are the people that got the position. So I really wouldn't say that it was the soldiers that, well, the money that was taken, that the largest amount was by the soldiers.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't soldiers who made the decision to put 360 tons of
exactly.
shrink-wrapped bricks of $100 bills on pallets and drop them into a war zone.
Yeah,
yeah, that was the guy named Paul Bremer and George W. Bush who made that decision. We're going late, but I got to take one more call. I'm sorry. We're going to go to, I'm sorry about this. I just want to go to another Gene who is in on the line from Sacramento. Gene, thanks very much for the call. You're going to be, unfortunately, our last call tonight, but you had a question for Marissa Souza?
Yeah, I just want to say God bless you and thank you for serving the country. But one of the things that I'm finding really ironic now, and the Republican base uses this a lot, and I want to ask you, because you were there and you had a morale, your morale was your morale when you were there and the people that are there now, including your fiancés. But when they say that the populace is against this war now, it hurts the morale of the people serving over there. Do you find that to be the case? Or has it been the case in the past, or is it today that way? Or are people over there starting to get tired of it, too?
Honestly, it's not at all. The only thing that injures or hurts the morale of soldiers, or the morale of the soldiers and the troops that are out there, is watching their friends die, watching their friends get injured, hearing about how, you know, policy changes affects the soldiers and the morale when it's more along the lines of them not having what they want, you know, our armor shortage, when they get back, VA funding is cut. It's those type of things that lower morale. It's not the politics and, you know, the discussion of the morale being lowered.
Marissa Souza, thank you so much for joining us and for taking those calls with our listeners and for taking the time to talk to us today. We'd love to have you back on the show. I'm sorry that I blathered too long and we didn't get to take more calls. It was
That's
my fault.
Fine. I just want to say thank you so much for supporting IAVA and supporting the troops and the veterans, Rachel. You're doing an awesome job.
Marissa, thanks a lot. I really appreciate
it.
Thanks. All right.
Yeah,
take care. Marissa Souza, former staff sergeant, served with the 1-8 CAV tank unit in Baghdad. She was there for 14 months. She got back in March 2005. She now lives near Fort Hood in Texas. We do Ask a Vet every week with our friends at Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. You can learn about them at IAVA.org. This is The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday afternoon.
at Sutterville. Get reports of three vehicles involved in this crash. That's going to slow down your commute from downtown to Elk Grove. It's about 21 minutes for that commute. This may take a little longer due to this accident. Westbound 50, just west of 48th Street. Watch for a disabled vehicle there. Everything else looking good. Beat the traffic with News.
Thank you very much, Angel Cardenas. Back with more AM 1320 KCTC.
Hi, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's gonna be gone at the Change Bandit Reward Party, Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to sacradiothon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking. As in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hi, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's gonna be gone at the Change Bandit Reward Party, Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to sacradiothon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Wow. That was for you in the pickup. This is Kent Jones for the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. Vigilance.
Oh, Kent! You can make a bluegrass song with personalized details for your pals?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you made one for me.
And I made one for you today and played it on the air.
It's really awesome. Chris, can we figure out some magical, even though nobody works in the web department here anymore, can we figure out some magical way to make that go on the web machine?
I will try.
Thank you.
I'll get you a beer if you do. It's not really your job, so all right. Well, Kent, thank you. That
sure.
was very, very fancy.
You got it.
I have a pet story for you today.
Oh, it's a monkey!
It is a monkey! That's exactly right! And you remember how, like, right after I started talking, we kind of took on Underdog as the mascot
yes,
of this show?
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Right after we kind of took on Underdog as our mascot, we learned that Disney is making an Underdog movie.
Yes, they are.
And then you might also recall that recently I had a big Bionic Woman, $6 million man
yeah.
thing on the show. Now I've made that announcement. And they're bringing back the Bionic Woman.
Nice.
Yeah, NBC is bringing back. I'm apparently a cultural leader. I'm an early adopter. I had no idea. NBC is bringing back the Bionic Woman. They announced today that a British actress named Michelle Ryan is going to play Lindsay Wagner's part as the Bionic Woman.
All right.
But
nice.
I'm worried.
Is she actually Bionic?
I'll check.
That would make it really interesting if she really was Bionic.
I also can tell you happily that a liquor shop owner in Japan's largest dairy farming region has learned how to make beer out of milk.
Wow.
It's called...
Bilk.
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 Beer and milk. Bilk. Apparently has a slight milky scent, but other than that, it's delish.
Bartender, more bilk!
Bilk.
Bilk. Also, rabbit ears antennas can help you get HD television without cable, without a satellite dish, without a monthly bill.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC,
Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel, because you deserve the truth.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Hundreds of flights are canceled or delayed by the big winter storm that's making its way from the Midwest to New England. At O'Hare Airport in Chicago, spokeswoman Wendy Abrams says it's not really the snow.
It's more an issue regarding atmospheric conditions, and by that I mean high winds and very low visibility that require an increase in spacing in between aircraft.
Blizzard conditions have made driving dangerous, and CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers in Chicago says the harsh weather has prompted some extraordinary measures.
If you want to get an idea of how bad this storm is by Midwestern standards, for the first time since 1979, the University of Illinois at Champaign closed its doors and declared a snow day. It's that unusual, this kind of weather, even though you may think that we're used to it here.
Heavy snow and in some cases heavy icing is in the forecast for the east tonight and tomorrow. The same massive storm system spawned the tornado that killed a woman and ravaged neighborhoods in New Orleans that were just starting to recover from Hurricane Katrina. While the U.S. troop surge is debated in Washington, CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports one prominent Iraqi troublemaker is taking it seriously.
Muqtada al-Sadr, leader of a well-armed militia, influential head of an entire Baghdad neighborhood called Sadr City, has left Iraq. That, according to U.S. government officials telling CBS News, it's been observed that Sadr, who is 33, has quietly traveled to Iran.
Today, the House took up the Democrats' Iraq resolution. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
It's the most extended Iraq debate since the war began and goes far beyond the simple language of the resolution opposing President Bush's plan to send more troops to Iraq. The resolution also says Congress supports the troops. Republican David Dreyer says that's not right.
You cannot claim to support our troops without supporting their mission.
Of course you can, says Massachusetts Democrat James McGovern.
The best way to support our troops is to bring them home safely to their families.
Every member of Congress is getting 5 minutes in the debate, which will wrap up on Friday. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Authorities in Salt Lake City say the teenage gunman who opened fire in a mall last night wanted to kill a large number of people. Police Chief Chris Burbank says he'd already taken five lives when an off-duty officer from Ogden, Utah, shot him down.
Going in and engaging a suspect who was well-armed and prepared to engage him without having the benefits of a uniform, extra equipment, or magazines for his firearm is truly heroic.
Officer Ken Hammond was at the mall having an early Valentine's dinner with his wife. Today on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials jumped 102 points to close at 12,654, the Nasdaq 9 points higher at 2,459, and the price of oil rose $1.25 to $59 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Appearing on DVD and Blu-ray disc, The Prestige, from the director of Batman Begins.
I'll work at that, bro.
It was the greatest magic trick I've ever seen.
Hugh Jackman.
I need to know how he does it.
Christian Bale.
You want the truth?
Michael Caine.
He has no truth.
It's real. Scarlett Johansson.
No more secrets.
Secrets of my life. Rolling Stone says you want to see it again the second it's over. The Prestige. Own it on DVD and Blu-ray disc Tuesday, February 20th. Rated PG-13 for violence and disturbing images.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Vehicles are getting better at protecting their occupants, but as CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports, the latest government crash test ratings show you have to shop carefully for safety.
Of those vehicles just rated, 7 four-door sedans got 5 stars, the best rating in front and side crashes, and 17 four-door SUVs got high marks for protecting all seating positions. Rollover ratings were another matter. Only 3 vehicles got 5 stars for rollover resistance, the Mazda 6 four-door and Pontiac Solstice and Saturn Sky convertibles, yet none of those models also got 5s for protecting all occupants in front and side crashes.
They'll be holding their noses in Westport, California. The carcass of a 60-foot fin whale, estimated to weigh 10 tons, has washed ashore near that village. A marine biologist says the whale had been dead for weeks, cause unknown. A local group would like to preserve the skeleton, but to do that, they'll have to bury the whale and let it decompose. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
America.
It's Politically Direct, live with your host, David Bender.
I would live like a free man, shake the chains from my soul, change my direction to heal my reflection, stepping out into the cold.
And welcome to the program. We are Politically Direct, and we are live again tonight. We are taking your calls at 866-303-2270. I'm David Bender. And just for people who have been writing in over the months that we've been doing the show on a daily basis, that opening song you hear is from a band I have loved for many years called Venice. And that's a song called If I Were You. And you can check them out at VeniceCentral.com. We get a lot of letters and people wanting to know something about this band. Check them out. That song is just typical of the kind of great music they make, and I've been meaning to mention that, and so I have. We are doing, again tonight, what we started last night. We're having a conversation. You know Hillary Clinton is going around the country. She launched her campaign with Let the Conversation Begin, and it is a year before the first votes. But the conversation is already, it's not quite at a shouting match level, but people, voices are raised all across the country, and people are talking about this election. Now, I have a theory, and I'm interested if you share this view, that the reason that we are talking about the 2008 presidential election so early, in February of 2007, is because people really are in denial about the fact that this election is still 2 years away. They want the Bush administration to be gone today. That's not just a personal opinion. Polls have shown, in fact, even a quarter of Republicans in the last poll that was taken on this really wish George Bush were gone already. I think it's plainly a majority of Air America listeners. But, you know, is this what's driving the fact that we are actually in full swing in a presidential primary and caucus campaign that is a year away? Year before Iowa, a year before New Hampshire, but those candidates are in Iowa and New Hampshire right now. What do you think? 866-303-2270. We're taking your calls. We're talking about presidential politics. And on that subject, Karl Rove, and this, he's rarely quoted on this network and certainly not by me, but he actually he gave an in-depth interview to something called The Politico. It's a new online political magazine. It's actually available as a newspaper in Washington. And he told the Politico today that he thinks that, and let me quote him here, I think the early start of his campaign, he says, is going to mean that people develop a persona earlier and wear out their welcome significantly earlier than they would. I think there's going to come some point this year when people are going to basically be saying, I'm largely disinterested in this contest. So is there going to be a backlash? Are we going to see, you know, as regular listeners to this broadcast know, I worked on the Howard Dean campaign 4 years ago now. And the Howard Dean campaign was incredibly energized in 2003. Huge crowds in the summer of 2003. Many of you may have gone to the Sleepless Summer Tour as Howard Dean marched across the country like a rock star. Now, did he flame out? Was it simply too early? And does this argue for someone who might yet get in late? Al Gore? I mean, what is the possibility here with a campaign that has started so early? I'm interested in what you think. 866-303-2270. We're talking presidential politics. We're taking your calls. Let's go now to Charlie in Brooklyn. Charlie, you're on Politically Direct.
Thanks, David. You know, I was disgusted, but sadly not surprised again at the tactics of the conservatives when Governor Bill Richardson, the first Hispanic presidential candidate, announced his candidacy last week. The party organ of the Republican Party in New York, the New York Post, their newsletter, had it on like page 17, NMGov tosses sombrero into the ring. Sombrero. And then
today, Mitt Romney, who's like the born-again conservative, held his campaign announcement at the offices of Henry Ford.
Yeah, was it the Henry Ford Museum? It was somewhere. And let's be clear that and I'm glad you brought up Mitt Romney. He announced today. We talk a lot more about Democrats than we do about Republicans here, but it's important to note that their campaign is in full swing. Mitt Romney, the most recent governor of Massachusetts, just left office a few months ago. Mitt Romney is a son of Michigan. So he went to where his father had been governor, George Romney, back in the 60s, and he announced. But I think your point, Charlie, is that he also chose the Henry Ford Museum. And Henry Ford, let's see, xenophobic anti-Semite.
Henry Ford distributed the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. He paid for that. He got an award from the Nazis, which he kept proudly on his desk up until, you know, he was way against us getting into the war, legislated again. He was a lifelong Nazi. I
mean, so you think Mitt made a bad call here, or are we actually kind of grateful that he would do something this stupid this early?
But I wonder if the mainstream press will report on it. He hasn't lived there, by the way, since he was 18. On the NewsHour tonight, PBS, supposedly our public network, they announced that he announced that in Dearborn, Michigan. They didn't say anything about Henry Ford or the museum. So,
well, that's what we're here for, actually,
yeah.
Charlie, is to make those points. Let me ask you, you mentioned Bill Richardson before. Are you a Bill Richardson supporter?
You know, I'm keeping an open mind. I happen to think that he has the kind of experience where he can play well with others. He's served in those kind of functions, which may be really good to see. But, of course, I'm attracted to Obama and Edwards. I think they're both, you know, further left the better, more progressive.
What's going to help you make up your mind, Charlie? We're talking about this being a year out. What's going to help you, you know, in this stage decide who you want to go with?
Speaking the truth. The more bold they are in the debates, the stands they take on, you know, the depredations of the Bushes as the months go by. Basically, that I would vote for Hillary even if she becomes the candidate.
Hillary even. It's really funny because, you know, Hillary Clinton in a vacuum is an amazingly qualified candidate. And as a lifelong Democrat, to be at a moment where, you know, we are in certainly a likely position of nominating a woman, you know, to be the standard bearer of this party, it's an extraordinary thing. But as you say, a lot of people are going, well, I'd even vote for Hillary. Why is it even Hillary for you?
The lack of courage, the way that she plays both ends. I mean, I understand it. I'm 50 years old. I've seen these campaigns for a long time. I know she's trying to keep her hold on the center so that if she does get the nomination, she can reach out to the middle-of-the-road voters. But to not be able to say that she made a mistake in voting for the war.
We were talking about this earlier. There's a pool that is going to be set up around here as to when she finally does decide to admit that she made a mistake, because it's got to go in that direction, really. The truth is she's going to say it. In my view, she may hold off, but those words, and then she will couch it as if I've always said that.
Sure.
I don't know why. It's only been semantics. But right now, you know, as you say, words matter, and certainly people's, you know, convictions are going to matter a lot when we're choosing a nominee. Charlie, we've got to move on. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Philip in Oklahoma. Philip, you're on Politically Direct. You like Bill Richardson, I'm told?
Hey, yes. Bill Richardson is the man. Hillary and Obama.
And Hillary is the woman. But why do you like Bill Richardson?
Well, because he's got experience. Hillary and Obama do not have experience.
Hillary has a lot of experience.
Not internationally, and not on an executive level, no.
Well, it's funny because, you know, what she just said in New Hampshire is she actually played the Bill card and talked about how she and Bill knew how to fight back, and they had beaten Karl Rove, and they'd beaten these folks before. So, actually, we're getting now the, and famously, Bill Clinton had said, when you get me, you get Hillary. And now she's starting to give us the implication that if you vote for Hillary, you're also getting Bill back. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out and see whether it is the experience of two candidates. We are taking your calls here at Politically Direct, 866-303-2270. We're talking about the presidential race in 2008. What do you think? What candidates are having an impact on you at this stage of the game? Also, they're debating a non-binding resolution in Congress on Iraq. What do you think about that? Let's talk about that as it affects this race. I'm David Bender. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the Morning Retort with...
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hi, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Air America Radio presents Politically Direct with David Bender.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing thought is no basis for a system of government.
He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. I'm sorry. I'm clearly distracted. I love our bumpers, and dazzling Dave Fasikas, our producer, who picks these out. Just my hat's off to him, but I do not wear a hat. We are talking presidential politics here on Politically Direct. We are taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Barbara in Washington State, you're on the program.
Good evening, David. I'm concerned about the smearing of Barack Obama, still referring to him chanting anti-Americanism in a madrasa school, and is he black enough? And, you know, if that's all they've got. But in this,
if that's all they got, then he's in good shape.
Really. In this election, what I'm really looking for is some finally some aggressive verbalization, not the repartee that you could close your eyes 10 minutes later, you could wake up and realize you hadn't missed anything.
Right.
The person I want to run is not out there. I know the field is full.
Who is that?
Bill Moyers.
Bill Moyers. Well, you know, there's been talk about Bill Moyers running for president for many, many years, and I think people may forget that he actually started out in politics. He worked for Lyndon Johnson, was in as a very young man in LBJ's administration, so he certainly has a political background. He's about what? About 70s. He's John McCain's age. Why not?
But he's a vibrant man with integrity, and that's what we need.
He's an incredible man who speaks truth to power, and he would be a remarkable president. I just wonder about the campaign. And again, this is something that we're sort of in the larger sense talking about every day, is what do people have to go through, and what do they have to go through a year out, a year before the first election?
Lots of money.
They're burning through money, but they're burning through stories that are feeding this 24/7 cable frenzy. Was Obama at a madrasa? Did Hillary really mean what she said about opposing the war? You know, all this stuff happening. Is this not, you know, something that actually takes away from the quality of our candidates?
This is a very, again, important election. And I think we're going to get rid of a lot of incumbents who have been found to have allowed where we are to happen.
Well, Barbara, we're going to be watching it carefully. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Magdalene in neighboring Idaho. Let's move back toward the east. Magdalene, you're on Politically Direct.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I'll vote for Hillary.
You'll vote for Hillary. Why?
Anytime. She's strong. She doesn't take any nonsense from anybody. She will kick butt. And Bill Clinton will help her kick butt. Obama is good, but he and his wife are not that interesting. He's interesting on his own, but once his wife...
Are we now judging candidates based on their spouse? And if so, Hillary is automatically one hands down. She's got the best spouse.
No, Hillary has a distinctive features that I really like, you know. Nice smile, big teeth. I like her. She's put together pretty well. Laura Bush is put together pretty well. And Laura Bush helped me, voted for Bush. And Obama's wife, she's tall, but I don't know. She's not as striking. And she irritates me. We're in America, let's face it. We want our president and his wife to look good, to look like ambassadors, to look like they are saying, they have to look good.
Well, Magdalene,
I don't care what you say. People need to look good when they're running for office.
Magdalene, thank you for your call. It's interesting in listening to Magdalene's description of that. I was thinking actually more about choosing a horse than a president. I mean, big teeth. It's, you know, nice look. They call this a horse race. That's a little more than I've heard. It is interesting to me that we are making evaluations. And I think there is a larger point to what you just said, which is that a lot of times we are looking at, you know, sort of the, would you like to have a beer? Do you feel good about this person? And you know what, folks? If we are basing this, if we haven't learned anything from George W. Bush, is, you know, first off, having a beer with a guy who's a recovering alcoholic, that was a fabulous test that he passed 4 years ago. But it seems to me that we had better be looking at some real serious criteria for who we want in this job this time around. And I hope we get beyond some of the superficial tests that Magdalene was talking about. Let's go to Ed in New Jersey. Ed, you're on the program.
Good evening, David. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay, two-part question for you. I am of a mind that the Democratic race is already over, that it's Hillary. She's got the machine behind her, and I think it's really all over but the shouting. I don't want to know if you share that opinion. And B, if that is the case, do you think there is enough sort of will out there for another candidate, a Gore, an Edwards, to run as an independent?
Well, let me answer your questions in two parts. One is it all over? No, it's not. Because, you know, if that were the case, we would have had President Mario Cuomo, President Ed Muskie. If you're measuring this a year out, so many things can happen from now until the first vote is cast. President Howard Dean. Hillary's got a lot going for her, but this is far from over. Yes, this is a very interesting time for a possible viable third force, a third way, an independent candidacy. Is it Al Gore or John Edwards? John Edwards is running as a Democrat. Al Gore probably, if he ran, would run as a Democrat. There's talk about somebody like a Michael Bloomberg, a guy who could self-fund. And, you know, you remember Ross Perot? Here was a guy who could self-fund but self-destructed. Michael Bloomberg, has shown he knows how to govern a city. He's got some incredible credentials, and he could write a very big check. Could that happen? Absolutely. And would that turn this race upside down? It would as well. So we've got a long way to go, and that's the thing I want people to remember. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. There is a long way to go, but what do you think? Who should be the next president of the United States? This is Politically Direct. I'm David Bender. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Madison Avenue at Garfield, we have a two-car crash, and it looks like downtown right there by the Capitol. If you have to go that way, well, don't. Try to go around. There is a three-car crash. Lows tonight, 37. Highs coming up tomorrow with partly clouds, 61, and on through the weekend. It could be 69, even 70 degrees, I'm thinking. Montana at AM 1320, KCTC.
Shop. America.
entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies for a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be gone at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. Always remember, give me all your change.
Couple of days, and it's the Democratic convention in Denver next year, late summer. I think it's August of 2008. The Democratic convention. Let's say that Hillary Clinton wins the nomination. She's the front runner now, so it's not a leap. But let's go there. Hillary Clinton comes out to accept the nomination of her party. She gives a speech, and then tradition she brings out the running mate. And then after that, the spouses come out. And I want you to just think about this moment. Just let your mind, you know, go forward in time to the moment where Bill Clinton walks out on that stage next to Hillary Clinton. And what reaction that crowd in Denver, and in fact, you know, the millions of people around the country, what reaction there's going to be to that. You know, Denver's the mile-high city. It will be 2 miles high when Bill Clinton walks back on that stage as the spouse of the Democratic nominee. Now, that is not a foregone conclusion, but it is an amazing moment to consider, certainly an unprecedented moment, and one that, for sheer political theater, is hard to resist, just for that alone. You got to contrast that, however, with what's going to happen in Minneapolis when the Republicans are trying to figure out what to do with W. whoever's the nominee of that party is going to have to stand there and be on the same stage with George W. Bush. And I got to tell you something. That is a photo opportunity they're not going to want to see, and I can't wait for that moment. That's going to be a lot of fun. We are taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Gina in New Orleans, you're on the program.
Steven.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, I'm such a fan of your program. I love you so much.
Thanks. Thanks for your call.
Thank you for taking it. I have been just boggling my brain. There's so many great candidates running, but I'm leaning towards John Edwards.
Why is that? Why do you like him?
Why do I like John Edwards? I'm not saying that Hillary isn't, or Barack isn't, or Bill Richardson isn't, but I know from reading a lot about John Edwards that he is a strong advocate for people who work for minimum wage.
He is that. He went around the country campaigning for minimum wage.
He is a very strong advocate for minimum wage workers, and that is exactly what I am. I have a part-time job. I make minimum wage. I am somebody that George W. Bush doesn't give a damn about.
Hey, Gina, you're in New Orleans, and, of course, John Edwards announced his campaign in New Orleans.
I'm going to tell you where he was in New Orleans, too, David. I'm going to tell you right now where he was in New Orleans. He was in the Ninth Ward. He had his shirt sleeves rolled up, and he had a shovel in his hand helping those people to rebuild their lives.
Well, you know what?
That is something George W. Bush never did do when he came here.
He clears brush in Texas. That's what he does on his ranch. But he's, you know, there's very little other than his photo op, you know, where he turned on the electricity in New Orleans just so he could have a press conference,
exactly.
And then turned it off when he left.
Exactly. And you know what else, too, David?
What's
Hello?
That? Yes, I'm here.
You know what else, too? The reason why George W. Bush doesn't give a damn about Hurricane Katrina, and the reason why he didn't think it was necessary to mention it in his two bullcrap State of the Union speeches post-Katrina, is because as long as Hurricane Katrina didn't go anywhere near crappy Crawford, crappy Texas, why should he give a damn?
Well, your
precious, beloved Crawford. Hurricane Katrina didn't touch Crawford, so why should he give a damn?
Gina, your point is well taken. Thanks for your call. Thanks for being a fan of the show. Let's move on to Perry in Florida. Perry, you're on Politically Direct. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Who do you like?
Well, I used to be a fan of Hillary, but... You know, I'm really more fond of John Edwards, and I kind of like Barack Obama. I think Hillary tried to walk the line. There was one point when she agreed with President Bush on the war, and I didn't agree with that. And I think what she was trying to do, she was trying to play both sides, and that kind of turned me off against her. So
you're down in Florida. Obviously, you know, this has been a crucial state in the last couple of presidential elections. Are you getting any sense of the vibe in Florida on both sides, actually, Democrat and Republican? Who's getting a lot of is John McCain? Is Mitt Romney? I gather Mitt Romney's been down in Florida a lot with a lot of the Jeb Bush people.
Yes, he has.
So who's getting the attention in Florida is my question, Perry.
Well, I think probably Hillary more than anything.
So Hillary's still getting a lot of ink.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, and again, this is still early, but I think you're going to see these candidates close up, and there are going to be people spending a lot of time in Florida. Perry, thank you for your call. Let's go to Joe in Springfield, Illinois, and this is where Barack Obama announced his candidacy. Joe, you're on the program.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. So did you see Obama's announcement in your neck of the woods?
I was working Saturday, and I seen the parade go by, the entourage go by.
It was a very cold day, but there were a lot of people out there, weren't there?
Yes, there was about 15,000 people. It was great. Unfortunately, I don't think he would win Sangamon County. That's the county that Springfield's in, but he would certainly get my vote if he's the nominee, and that's
what kind of senator has he been, Joe? He's been senator for a couple of years. Has he been a good senator?
He's been a great senator. He's voted the way, you know, that I went. I always do the chain emails to send your senator from, like, Public Citizen and Union of Concerned Scientists and AFL-CIO. And he's been a great senator as far as I'm concerned. My heart definitely goes out to him. Richardson, I think, is the person this country really, at this point.
Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico, you think he's the better one?
Well, I think he has more experience. He probably could find a solution if anybody could in Iraq with his foreign experience policy. He's very skilled in the energy sector. Maybe, you know, he could, if anybody could get his energy independent, I think it could be Richardson. He would attract the Latino voters in Arizona, of course, New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada.
Joe, have you worked in politics? Have you spent any time in campaigns yourself, or are you an observer, or have you participated, if I may ask?
I'm an observer. I did some phone banking for Durbin back in 96. I was briefly filled in as our precinct committeeman, but no, I don't work in
politics. And the reason I ask it is not, it's not like, you know, what have you done for the candidates lately. It's I'm actually interested because a lot of people are looking at this with, you mentioned your heart's with Obama, but your brain's telling you Bill Richardson. And we had this thing in 2004 with who is electable. And it's a very tough thing when people start, you know, trying to make a judgment. And I'm not just saying you, all of us do this. As you look at these numbers, you look at the demographics, and you go, if we picked up 118,000 more votes in Ohio, John Kerry would have been president. So
right.
Who carries Ohio? Who could carry if Latino voters go in Arizona, Nevada, and so forth? You know, all of those are fair questions, and they are. And the political consultant class spends all of its time thinking about it. I have to think that at this stage of the game, it's the better part of wisdom to ignore our brains and think about, you know, really not, and I don't mean not think clearly and rationally about our choices, but to really make a visceral test of who do we really think is someone we would want in that job. Let's not think about the hurdles he or she would have to, you know, go through to get there and whether they're electable or not almost 2 years ahead of the game, because I think that, you know, ultimately does all of us a disservice.
That would have to be Richardson because of his experience, like I say, with foreign policy. And I think I really have a fear of this country getting too divided, and I think he's somebody that can bridge that divide. Unfortunately, you probably wouldn't like to hear it. I think I wouldn't vote for him, but I think Giuliani could do that too.
Well, we don't have enough time for me to tell you why I don't agree. Mark Green, who's been a frequent guest on this program and who knows Giuliani very well, is probably the go-to guy on this. And I've got to tell you, Giuliani is getting a lot of, you know, sort of this 9/11 hype still attached to him. But when people who have any sense of the record he compiled as mayor of the city
would never vote for
not
him
in 100 million years. And I think that's the bloom's going to come off that rose. Joe, thank you for your call. We are taking your calls tonight. We're talking presidential politics. 866-303-2270. Let's go to Gary in Vermont. Gary, you're on Politically Direct. Gary?
Hello, I'm from Memphis.
Gary, you're from Memphis? Okay. Well, welcome to the program.
Okay. Hi, David. How you doing?
Good. We have two. We have another Gary holding. So you're Gary in Memphis, and we'll get to Gary in Vermont in a minute. Who do you like?
Okay. Let me tell you, Gary. In 2006, I was leaning toward Hillary, but Bush won. He did 4 years, and Bush two is doing eight, and President Clinton did eight years, and now Clinton, and now Hillary, if she is elected.
You're tired of the Bush Clinton stuff?
Yeah, and I think America deserves better. And when Mr. Barack Obama jumped into the race, he's like a breath of fresh air. You know, he spoke on the health care, you know, but our soldiers are dying in the war, and our citizens are dying because of poor health care. I think America needs reforming. And the question that has been often brought up, is America ready for a black president? Well, after 6 years of George W. Bush, America is ready for anything. A woman president, a black president, a Mexican president.
A competent president. We're ready for someone who knows how to be president. Gary, thank you for your call. We need to take a quick break. We are talking presidential politics here on Politically Direct, 866-303-2270. I'm David Bender. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Political talk so good, you'll need a spoon.
Inconceivable!
It's Politically Direct with David Bender on Air America Radio.
And we're back. We are talking presidential politics here in our last segment on Politically Direct. Let's go to Gary in Vermont. Gary, you're in Vermont, right?
That's correct, David.
Good.
It's a great show, a great topic.
Well, thank you, and thanks for your call. Who do you like?
I like Dennis Kucinich. You know, he reminds me, out of all the candidates, I think he reminds me most of my friend Bernie Sanders.
And well, who we've had on this program, and you'll be happy to know that tomorrow night we're going to have Dennis Kucinich on this program.
Oh, great.
So how about that for a plug? You all you have to do is say something, Gary, and we do it here at Politically Direct.
Great.
But you did you support Kucinich 4 years ago?
I did to a certain extent, you know, but when it came down to... What gets me, David, is the media's role in this. You know, the media seems to pick candidates that they want. You know, now all you hear about is Hillary and Obama. Hillary and Obama. You never hear about Kucinich. You never hear about Bill Richardson. You never hear about Chris Dodd or any of these other candidates.
Then you're not listening to Politically Direct, and I know you are, but we talk about all of them here.
Yeah, I know.
Frankly, you know, here's the truth about that, is that the media, the mainstream media, so-called, which has dictated coverage for forever, is no longer driving it, not when there's a blogosphere, not when there's a chance for people to actually be writing and talking about the candidates. You know, Huffington Post and Daily Coast get more hits than many of the mainstream publications that get all the quotes, but frankly, more people are paying attention to a conversation that is happening under the radar from the talking heads on television.
I hope that's true.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah. You know, I like Dennis Kucinich because he, his big thing is people rather than corporations, you know, and he understands that if we keep mucking around in the Mideast, that we're just going to invite more, you know, people to try to attack us, you know.
Well, Gary, you're going to enjoy the conversation tomorrow night. I know you'll be listening. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Don in Columbus, Ohio. You're on Politically Direct.
Good evening, David.
Hey, Don. Welcome to the show.
You were talking earlier about what a great scene it would be to have Bill Clinton walk up on the stage in Denver, but I thought that probably the two biggest rock stars to walk up on that stage if it could be put together, would be Al Gore and Barack Obama as president and vice president nominees.
Hey, you're giving me chills talking about it, Don. It's really interesting because you're right. Let's keep talking. Politics is theater. There's an element to it, and the whole notion of Al Gore walking out on a stage to reclaim the presidency that a lot of us thought he should be finishing right now is an extraordinary moment. And I think it's why a lot of people are looking at, and I just mentioned the blogosphere, there's still a huge movement on the Internet to get Al Gore to think seriously about jumping into this race. I think you're absolutely right. Al Gore would electrify this country if he joined the fray.
You want to talk about electability. There is nobody more electable than Al Gore, and with Barack Obama as his vice president, that would just really electrify the entire Democratic Party, and it would terrify the Republicans. In addition, Al Gore is probably the only man that is out there right now who not only is electable for the job, but knows how to do the job better than anyone else.
Well, I happen to agree with you, and we've had Al Gore on this program, and I actually said to him that I thought he owed it to the country to run. When I did, and I don't know if you heard the show that night, but he sighed into the microphone sort of midpoint when I said again, I'm sure you're hearing this a lot, Mr. Vice President. You need to consider this, and there's this audible, and I said, did I hear you sighing into an open microphone? You got to promise me you'll never do that again. Didn't work for you the last time. Don't do it anymore.
Yeah, I heard that.
It was a lot of fun.
Get a bunch of people to grab him, twist his arm behind his back, and not let him go until he promises
never to do it again
for the president.
Well, Don, we're going to be watching the Oscars, February 25th. An Inconvenient Truth is almost certainly going to win an Oscar as Best Documentary. And I think the question of whether or not Al Gore walks up to that podium with the producers, Laurie David and Lawrence Bender, to claim that Oscar, that's going to be a very interesting moment. We've got just a few more minutes. Let's go to Chris in Montana. Chris, you're on Politically Direct.
David, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I love Air America.
Thank you very much.
I'd be lost without it. There are a couple of things that I wanted to say. I think all of the Democratic candidates are really interesting, and I do want to see more of them, and I want to hear more of what their positions are. But the one thing I think they really need to do is to stop apologizing. When Barack Obama apologized for having said that more than 3,000 lives were wasted in Iraq. You know, the fact of the matter is they were. When good people die for a lie, that's a waste.
Well, you know what, I share your view that we shouldn't apologize for things that we have nothing to apologize for. Whether I can't be in Obama's head and heart and know whether or not he feels genuinely that he misspoke, that he didn't mean to suggest that their sacrifice was a waste. That's his judgment call. But I agree with your underlying point completely, Chris, that this is the time and place where particularly we as Democrats can't apologize for anything. We have to talk about the fact that we've been right. We've been right from the beginning. This war was a misbegotten ill adventure that should never have happened, and we have nothing to apologize for saying that. Chris, thank you for your call. We have been talking presidential politics here on Politically Direct. We're going to be doing it from time to time, taking your calls. This campaign has started very early, but we're also going to try and have as many of the candidates on the program as we can. So tomorrow night, tune in. Dennis Kucinich is going to be joining us. He is a candidate the second time now for the Democratic presidential nomination. We're going to be talking about his Department of Peace proposal, his vehement opposition to this war in Iraq, and a discussion of whether or not a non-binding resolution is enough. And also joining us is another son of the Midwest, John Mellon.
me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320LeftChannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The shovels are out in Chicago, where they're trying to keep up with blowing snow. A massive winter storm produced blizzard conditions and a lot of misery, as CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers can attest.
I've lived in Chicago for 8 winters, and there have been some heavy snowfalls and some cold weather, but this is the most brutal wind I've felt in quite some time. People in this city are used to this kind of cold, but we're maybe not used to this kind of wind. 40 miles per hour coming on a day where you've had 6 inches of snow in the city. It's making for a real mess.
The storm has crippled air travel. WBBM Radio's Bob Roberts talked to stranded travelers at O'Hare.
After one cancellation, Laura Tremble got her flight to Minneapolis.
I hope so, and first class.
Well, gee, now that's nice.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Not everyone is so lucky. By mid-afternoon, Chicago O'Hare had canceled 750 of its 2,700 daily flights, another 250 at Chicago Midway. Although runways are being kept clear, the high winds, snow blowing sideways, resulting low visibility, create delays as flights are spread farther apart. Bob Roberts, CBS News, Chicago.
The storm extends all the way to the East Coast. Interior New England could get up to 2 feet of snow. The U.S. troop surge and the security crackdown in Baghdad have scared Muqtada al-Sadr away. CBS News has learned that several weeks ago, the anti-American Shiite cleric fled Baghdad for Iran. CBS News congressional correspondent Cheryl Atkinson was on Capitol Hill today as the House opened debate on the Democrats' Iraq War resolution.
The American people have lost faith in President Bush's course of action in Iraq, and they are demanding a new direction.
We have a duty to pursue nothing less than victory.
The resolution they're debating is just 97 words long and purely symbolic. Even as it disapproves of the president's troop increase, it also promises that Congress will continue to support and protect the troops.
Because
all 435 members get 5 minutes each to have their say, and the resolution will likely pass by Friday. The only real question is how many Republicans will vote for it.
Ken Hammond is being hailed as a hero. The off-duty police officer from Ogden, Utah, was at the Trolley Square Mall in Salt Lake City having dinner with his pregnant wife when he heard gunshots last night. A heavily armed teenager had opened fire in the mall, killing 5 people.
I was in a situation that I was carrying my gun, and I felt that I had to do something. I couldn't let any more take place.
Hammond exchanged shots with 18-year-old Suleiman Talevich, killing him and ending the rampage. The motive is a mystery. Today, a relative said he was such a good boy. I don't know what happened. Today on Wall Street, the Dow gained 102 points, closing at 12,654. This is CBS News.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has the story of a would-be thief who was tripped up by his trousers.
Randall Wall Jr. might have gotten away with it had it not been for that dreaded wardrobe malfunction.
Police in Mount Airy, North Carolina say Wall tried to steal a 20-inch flat-screen television from a Walmart by hiding it in his baggy pants. As workers confronted Wall, he took off running. A big mistake. His pants fell to his ankles, and the TV fell to the ground. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Omar Sharif has been ordered into an anger management program. In Beverly Hills today, his lawyer entered a no-contest plea to charges the Egyptian-born actor punched a parking valet in June 2005. The valet, Juan Anderson, claims Sharif was drunk and belligerent when he emerged from a restaurant, angry that his car wasn't waiting, and angry that Anderson wouldn't accept payment in euro. The valet has a civil suit against the star of Dr. Zhivago, seeking compensation for a broken nose. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
EcoTalk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Hello and welcome to the program. On today's edition of EcoTalk, we will be chatting with someone who is leading a drive against the coal-fired power plants that they're trying to build quickly and pass through in Texas. Baptists against coal is the first segment, then lovers against toxic chemicals, then children against nature deficit disorder, and a new fuel product against all previous alternative fuel innovations. That is a snapshot of our program today. First up is Susie Painter. She's the director of the Texas Baptist Christian Life Commission, and she is leading 2.3 million members, at least in theory, to oppose the construction of these power plants, which could cause so much more damage to our environment and to our health. I want to welcome Susie Painter to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Well, evangelicals are doing it, Episcopalians are doing it, now Baptists are getting into the fray, stepping up their environmental activism, certainly their awareness of some of the issues that affect their local community, so thinking globally but acting locally. Tell us about what you're doing and what has happened in response to your efforts.
Well, a couple of things. Our group, we started with, as you can well imagine, we started with the Bible, and we began to read carefully and be inspired by Scripture and look at the the primary relationship of the world as belonging to God, not to us, and that our role as human beings is to be good stewards of the earth. And with so much happening, our convention took a opportunity to really pause and ask some questions about that and passed a resolution last November to pay attention to what was going on. And, you know, it's one of those things where right here in our backyard came some proposals about the fast-tracking process of the coal plants. And we have we know that Texas is growing. We know that we're going to need energy in the future and all that sort of thing. We're certainly not against having energy for our future growth, but we are very concerned about the fast-tracking of these particular plants, with so many on such a fast track without a time to deliberate and look into the effects on our congregation. We've heard from congregation members really for about the past 5 years about the growing number of children with asthma and the frailty with respiratory disease, and especially in our urban areas where, you know, through emission reduction programs already, people are feeling the effects of a lot of pollution. I mean, Texas used to be such a clean air place, and now we're among the bad boys in the nation and in the world. So,
not to mention all the research we're getting about global warming and coal's contribution to it.
So we really felt like jumping into a massive coal production program was just something that needed study and time and more impact. And when we looked at the November 20th letter from several members of the House of Representatives, Republicans and Democrats, we saw that they were asking respectfully of TCEQ to slow the process down and look at the air quality studies that were being done. And then
so far they've refused, right?
So far they've refused. Representative Anderson has put forward a concurrent resolution in the legislature and asking again just for time to look at this and time to study. And we felt like, I mean, our voice is clearly a non-traditional voice, as you indicated at the beginning, for
which is exactly what we need in this movement right now.
Well, and that, I think it's an indication that this is not a, this isn't a partisan issue. It's really about the future of Texas and how we are going to make our energy decisions. And if we don't make our energy decisions with everybody at the table and with all the knowledge that we can get, and with the prayerful support of people willing to commit to the things that need to be done to change our energy profile, we'll be a sad place to turn over to our kids.
Well said. I understand there was a rally on Sunday that drew hundreds of Baptists, perhaps beyond other religious groups represented as well?
There were lots of folks in Austin on Sunday at the rally to take a look at and talk about some of the issues involved in this debate. One of the things that we really felt like needs support is a look at the resolution and to hear the voice of the people, hearing from mayors of all the cities and that the communities themselves, like, for instance, Baylor's Baptist University in Waco, and 11 of these coal-fired power plants are proposed to be in the Waco area. And we were very concerned just, you know, about our own kids going to school where there's going to be 11 coal-fired power plants right around our campus there. And what would happen to the air quality there if all of a sudden Waco went into non-attainment because of the amount of pollutants that were being put in the air? I think there's a lot of interest, you know, there's a lot of advertisement out there from both the industry and from groups that are traditionally opposed to industry expansion, and we just wanted to join this chorus to say this is not just a polarized issue, that people in the middle, consensus groups, are really looking hard and asking for more time and more evidence and more involvement of the people that are going to be affected every day.
I think there's an awareness that we can't leave it up to government or industry to protect our health and our environment anymore, if that's not an understatement. But while that sounds kind of silly, you know, me speaking from San Francisco and progressive California to our, you know, audience, which is very green-minded. But for Texas, this is pretty unusual to sort of grasp this and have such a big turnout and activism in Dallas, of all places.
And in Austin, I'll tell you one of the things that has really sparked interest here is just what you said, is trustworthiness of our businesses. Of course, Texas has had a little bad experience with some other industry bad boys like Enron. So I think people are not just willing to say that industry in and of itself is enough of a voice to say they're going to take care of everybody, or that government in and of itself, and that getting citizens involved. I mean, I do think people typically have had that feeling. Look, energy's complicated. We'll leave it to the companies and the government to make decisions for us. But when you see that, for instance, they're in our situation, they proposed these 11 coal plants. They figured the pollution of each coal plant by itself, as if each of the 11 were the only coal plant, but they didn't compute the cumulative
collective
effect.
Yeah,
now that,
good point. I understand there was also a group of influential Dallas business executives who were part of the protest.
Yes, and some lawsuits as well against these. And you know, it's interesting. One of the scriptures that came from an Old Testament scripture that was brought to our attention is from Joel 2, and it says, "Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. And do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green." And I think when we are doing things that make the earth, you know, if it were a person, it would be afraid, and make the animals afraid. I mean, we should just not be that presence that creates fear in creation because of our interaction. That's not being a steward of God's creation.
Hear, hear. Was Al Gore's movie, you know, influential in sparking this new awareness and activism at all?
You know, not really for us. I think it really came out of our own commitment to looking at the Psalms, looking at Genesis, looking at the way in which we say that, you know, the real relationship of the earth is with God. I mean, we grew up singing a little song called "This Is My Father's World." And if this is God's world, then, you know, as committed Christians, we can't just let that go by and not do our part to help the world.
And as one of my heroes, Bill McKibben, said recently on the program, environmentalism was not created on Earth Day. It goes back to Genesis.
It's true. It's really true. And I think, you know, the other thing that really creates a good relationship for those of us, you know, in the evangelical community, you know, is to see leaders all around the country really taking a long look at what does it mean to be stewards of creation. Our ethic in the world makes a difference.
Thank you, Susie Painter. Well said. She is with the Christian Life Commission, the public policy arm of the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and they're up in arms about those Texas coal-fired power plants that are trying to get passed through quickly, and they're saying slow down. We'll be back right after these messages.
AM 1320, Sacramento.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Whee-hoo! Winner's going to be down at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Welcome back. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. And if you are looking for a last-minute Valentine's gift for your sweetie, don't go for the traditional perfume or cologne unless you know what it contains exactly. Our friends at the Environmental Working Group say that there's a major loophole in federal law allowing fragrance manufacturers to hide potentially hazardous chemicals in product scents, including substances linked to allergies, birth defects, and even cancer. For more on this, we're going to go to Renee Sharp. She's a senior analyst with EWG. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Betsy.
So some of these typical nice presents for Valentine's Day are not so sweet because of what they contain, and apparently there's no laws that really govern this in a way that you might imagine.
Although most people probably use, you know, close to 10 different personal care products a day, you know, from soap and shampoo and body lotion to perfume and lipstick and cologne, most people don't realize that actually the government does not require these products to be tested for safety or their ingredients to be tested for safety. And in fact, 89% of the more than 10,000 ingredients in personal care products have not been evaluated for safety. And the situation is actually even worse when it comes to what's called fragrances. And the issue there is that you know, most of the chemical ingredients of personal care products are required to be put on the label, but because of this legal loophole, companies can basically just list the term fragrance.
So just as fragrances can cover up some body odors, they can also cover up some things that are not so good as well for
health. That's right, that's right.
So we've had some discussions about this with Judy Shills and Charlotte Brody in the past, so this is not probably as new to our listeners as others who don't listen to EcoTalk might be surprised to hear this. Tell us, you know, I guess the problem is that they only have to do their own testing, so that they obviously have a conflict of interest, they being the manufacturers of these products, and so there's no government, you know, oversight of this, and they could put something on the market long before it's been really proven to be safe.
That's right. Actually, the agency that is supposed to theoretically regulate cosmetics and personal care products has actually stated that, quote, a cosmetic manufacturer may use almost any raw material as a cosmetic ingredient and market the product without an approval from the FDA. And basically, in terms of fragrances, the the body that is supposedly supposed to regulate the safety of fragrances is the International Fragrance Association, which is basically a trade group. And so basically the whole industry sort of supposedly self-regulates. But in reality, they actually do very little testing of any of the chemicals. So we're all just sort of left there, you know, hoping that the companies might be doing something, but in fact, they're really not.
Okay, so are some of the substances that are typically in these, you know, fragrances really carcinogenic, or is it mostly allergies you're concerned about? That's my first question. And why don't you answer that, and then I'll ask you the second part of that.
Okay. Well, it's really hard to generalize because we're talking about a combination of, you know, hundreds of different chemicals that might be contained in this, you know, this covered by this one term. And, you know, they're linked to all sorts of things, allergies, skin reactions, hormone disruption, cancer in some cases, even birth defects in some cases, and even harming wildlife. In fact, there was one study that was just done a couple of years ago at Stanford that found that parts per billion levels of common fragrance musks, which might be a term that folks know, typical in perfume and...
It's one of my favorite scents, and I think of it as kind of natural.
Right, right. Well, in fact... musk, it's a whole category of chemicals, but in fact, just parts per billion of these fragrance musks actually caused muscles to lose their ability to clear the body of toxins. So that's just, you know, one example of many of the different health effects that might be going on, you know, both in people and wildlife.
Okay, the other part of my question was, would you expect to find some of these hidden ingredients that are not healthy for us in some of the cheaper brands? Or are you finding these in some of the big brands, you know, where people pay a lot of money for some famous name fragrances?
Right, right. I think my first answer to your question is that our survey of 15,000 different products, we found that about half of the products that we surveyed contained the word fragrance on the label. So we don't really know what those include, but it does show you that this loophole is very widely used. And in terms of, you know, whether it's the big companies or the small, you know, cheaper company or, you know, whatever, big companies, whether they're, you know, cheap products or whatever, it's really across the board. It's really across the board. And I should mention that we have been working with the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. It sounds like you've had folks from the campaign on the show.
Yes.
And we've developed this compact for Safe Cosmetics, where basically companies sign this pledge that they won't use ingredients which are known to be linked to cancer and birth defects in
our
their
last
products.
30 seconds, I just want you to give the website where people can find healthier alternatives. I want to make sure we end on a positive note.
Oh, sure. Well, basically, you can look for safer products on our website, which is www.ewg.org, and also you can find out more about the Safe Cosmetics Compact at safecosmetics.org. Basically, these companies have, you know, pledged to use safer ingredients in their products, but you'll see that, you know, most of the major cosmetics manufacturers have not actually signed the compact and have refused to, with, you know, despite a lot of public pressure.
Yes, and we're going to hopefully raise that pressure as we let our listeners know about this particular problem with fragrances. Okay, we're out of time, but thank you, Renee Sharp, for joining us. She's a senior analyst with the Environmental Working Group, working hard to stay, to keep us healthier as well as our planet.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Stop mad cowboy disease.
Win fast, win often.
The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at CashCreek.com.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Welcome back to the program. That is my daughter's favorite song, and I love it because no one else can let you feel the rain on your skin. No one else can let you look up at the skies and see what's out there and the trees and the birds and the bees and the flowers. Well, my daughter is like a typical child today in America, doesn't get outside often enough, and even with a mother who does eco-talk is not as tuned into nature as she could be, as I was growing up. To talk more about that, Richard Louv, who is the director of the Children and Nature Network and also the author of one of the most important books to come out in the last couple of years, Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
We spoke to you about a year and a half ago when the book came out, and I'm sure it's having an impact because response have you seen?
Well, it's beyond anything I would have expected. I knew that it was a button that would be push if we get some reaction, but not like this. Essentially, what has happened is a kind of movement has resulted, and that may be too strong a word, but certainly something's moving out there. The USA Today had a front-page story the other day. Even The Economist last week had a story about it. And essentially what's happening is that people all over the country are figuring out ways to get kids connected with nature. And this isn't, small things here and there. These are regional movements that are engaging all kinds of people across the political spectrum, civic organizations, as well as environmental organizations, as well as businesses, et cetera. So it what's happening is quite extraordinary. It's almost a self-organizing movement.
We've tapped into something that is a key part of this whole eco-awakening, I think, and that's, you know, how can we ask our children to grow up and protect the planet when they don't really, you know it enough to love it and know what to protect and even know what they're missing in terms of what, you know, we've lost since our generation, since we were kids. So
I think that's true. And the large environmental organizations, I think when we last talked, we talked about the need for those organizations to pay some attention or more attention to this, and certainly they are now. The National Wildlife Federation has a Green Hour, National Green Hour started. Sierra Club has dramatically increased its focus on this issue. The Trust for Public Land, for instance, I think that they have certainly are talking in terms of not only protecting land now, but trying to figure out how to make sure that future generations continue to protect that land. That's something that's not been paid a lot of attention to, but certainly organizations like TPL are beginning to do that. They've already been doing it for a while, but I think they're really intensifying their efforts.
We understand that you'll be testifying before Congress on our national park system and perhaps providing some insight into the health effects of our parks, as well as adding something to President Bush's No Child Left Behind bill, perhaps No Child Left Indoors.
That's what we hope. I've been asked to testify at a couple settings in D.C., and part of that is to take the long view in terms of how we view the future of the national parks, which are losing population. They're losing visitation. There are not that many people visiting them as there were in the past. Families and children are dropping off. That has huge political implications. Who's going to care about those parks in 10 or 15 years? If this disengagement between children and nature continues. And in the education realm, I'm particularly excited about this because there's serious talk about the rewriting of the Leave No Child Behind Act to reintroduce nature, environmental education, and nature experience into the classroom. And this, along with recess and field trips, nature has pretty much been stripped from our schools under the current writing of Leave No Child Behind. But we hope to have a section in there that could be called Leave No Child Inside.
And I understand that you were testifying last September on the National Dialogue on Children and Nature. You're one of the speakers, as well as the former Secretary of the Interior, Dick Kempthorne. Did you have a lively discussion there, or did you get receptivity or resistance?
Well, that was an incredible experience. That was arranged through the Conservation Fund and the National Conservation Training Center there in Shepherdstown, and I was participated in the organizing of that. And that drew about 350 people from all over the country. We made a real effort to draw from different walks of life, conservative, liberal, people working in environmental education, but also businesses, developers, et cetera. And they had to turn people away. There was a lot of interest in it. Secretary Kempthorne, the new secretary, who's certainly an improvement on the last one, was very eloquent, actually, about his commitment to this issue and talked about his own childhood, his own experience. And that's one of the things that we found that is quite special about this issue, is that it doesn't seem to matter what somebody's politics are, whether they're liberal or conservative or what their religion is. They all seem to want to tell me about the treehouse they had when they were a kid or that special place in the woods they had. And nobody wants to be a member of the last generation for whom going outside and exploring nature was the normal thing to do when a person is a child. None of us want to see that disappear.
Yet another environmental issue, if you can call enjoying nature an environmental issue, separate from everything else, but that is practical, not political, and needs to be preserved for all else to be possible.
That's right. I was in Ukiah, California a few months ago, which is Spotted Owl Central, and kids aren't going outside there either, which raises an interesting question. Is the spotted owl the leading indicator species, as important as it is, or is it really something else? And I think it's the human child in nature, because if kids aren't going outside and bonding with nature, who in the world is going to care about the spotted owl in 10 or 15 years? So this is quite primal to the environmental movement that we attend this issue. It's also quite important to the health of human children, to their physical health, their emotional health, and indeed their spiritual health.
A lot of folks might say that it's responsibility of parents to turn off the television and get the kid off the computer, get outside. Do you really hold parents responsible, or is it just a societal shift that has taken place so quickly from one generation to the next in terms of not letting kids run around outdoors because of safety reasons and whatever else we're so afraid of these days?
Well, certainly parents have a big responsibility here, but I'm very careful in the book not to put all of the responsibility on parents' shoulders. It's just too easy to do that. Just like it's too easy to blame it only on Nintendo and, you know, electronic video games being the new rock and roll. I mean, they are alluring and seductive, et cetera, and it's too easy for parents to put kids in front of the Nintendo as a form of babysitter. That's all true. But what I heard from parents around the country, that the underbelly of this issue is that parents are scared to death. They're scared to death of stranger danger primarily. And our profession, my profession of journalism, particularly electronic journalism, television. All you have to do is watch those CNN or Fox, the 24-hour news cycle, and you see how they take a handful of terrible crimes against children. They repeat them over and over again until people believe that there's a boogeyman in every clump of trees and at every street corner. That's the very definition of conditioning. And I think we're being conditioned by our profession. I'm being conditioned, too. By our profession to believe that life is a lot more dangerous out there in America than it actually is. Some people would think that that's a conspiracy. I don't. I think that would attribute too much institutional intelligence to our profession. But I think it's something we have to pay attention to.
Should we tell our kids just to get outside and play, or do we need to be a little bit more cautious these days?
Well, I'm not pretending that the 50s are going to come back anytime soon. Maybe in some neighborhoods they will. But realistically, I certainly shared that fear, even though I knew better. As a journalist, I knew the numbers didn't add up to justifying that kind of fear, and yet I felt it as a parent. So I think that two things are going to have to happen. One is that parents are going to have to be a lot more intentional about taking their kids outdoors into nature. They're going to have to think about it rather than assuming it's going to happen. And they're going to have to do a lot of that with their kids.
And not just let the schools do field trips. I mean, it is partly our responsibility.
Well, the field trips have been cut, and we can't count on that anymore.
Good point.
The parents really are going to have to be intentional about that. And that's good news for the parents, because all of the good things, the stress reduction, the longer attention span, et cetera, that come to kids, come to the adults who take them outside the minute they do that. So it's not a bitter pill. The second thing that will have to happen is that we're going to have to support the institutions and the organizations, nonprofit and government, that help parents do that. We have to remember there's a young generation of parents coming up right now that did not have very much experience in nature when they were kids. They don't know where to start. And even when they know how good this is for their kids' health, they're a little bit intimidated by it. So we need to really support the nature centers, the environmental organizations that are helping get kids outside, the schools with outdoor classrooms, those few schools that have them. You know, we need to support education reform that will bring nature back to the educational experience, and so on. We need to support these regional movements that are emerging.
And perhaps just emphasize something that sounds sort of obvious, but we perhaps have lost, you know, touch with, and that's that we humans are a part of nature, and that we shouldn't have to get into the SUV and go drive someplace to experience it, that it's all an ecosystem that is a little bit threatened right now, and we need to protect it and teach it and feel it and smell it and just interact with it because we're part of it. It's not separate from us.
That's right. One of the things I'd like to mention is that there's a nonprofit that I'm involved with that has emerged in part because of the book. It's called the Children in Nature Network, and it's an effort to encourage all these regional movements that are emerging. And it's there's a website, seenaturenet.org, or you can go to leavenochildinside.org.
I love it. Thank you so much for your great work, Richard Liu. Very important. He's the director of the Children in Nature Network, also the author of a pivotal book called Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll meet a man who claims to have come up with a breakthrough alternative biofuel made from soybeans, and even better than biodiesel, he says.
That unfamiliar sound.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking. As in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. for a limited time only. Go to LegalZoom.com and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to the program. Perhaps we saved the best for last when it comes to this edition of the program, because our next guest has announced that he has a solution to global warming and our dependence on oil in one fell swoop. And if that's the case, it should be Stop the Presses, Start the Show with this news. We'll find out. Perhaps it really is the real thing. John Rivera is CEO and president of U.S. Sustainable Energy Corporation. He has discovered a new way to create fuel from 100% renewable resources, he says, in a faster, more efficient way than traditional biodiesel. If his vision comes true, we'll all be driving diesel-powered cars in a hurry. Welcome to the program, Mr. Rivera.
Thank you, Betsy. Glad to be here.
You say you have a new bioenergy discovery which enables you to create biofuel at a much faster rate than what was possible before. In layman's terms, explain to us, first of all, what this is from and where it is in the process of being, you know, ready to go from the lab to our cars.
Well, it's been in the lab a long time. We went from the lab to a mini reactor. Now we have a full-scale 65-foot reactor that has the capability of doing up to 6,000 gallons a day of biofuel.
Okay, what is your biofuel made from?
Right now we're using soybeans, and it is, please, let me be very clear, I am not making biodiesel. Biodiesel is a totally different animal with totally different characteristics.
Which is why we're calling it biofuel? Is that the preferred?
It's a biofuel. I am actually making 5 gallons of biofuel from one bushel of soybeans, not soybean oil. The soybean only has like 20% oil in it, so it actually takes 5 bushels of soybean to make 1 bushel of soybean oil.
And you say it takes about 8 minutes to create a gallon of this fuel compared with 24 hours for biodiesel?
8.5 minutes.
Okay, 8.5 minutes. But are you actually able to make it, and how much energy is required in this process?
Well, in the overall 40-ton-a-day reactor, we use about 440 kilowatts an hour, and we produce 4,400 kilowatts.
Now, you say it takes 24 hours to make biodiesel. I thought biodiesel mostly came from vegetable oil, you know, a waste product of the frying process. Is that?
Well, the biodiesel has many faces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the one from the French fry mobile, we call it, you know, from the used greases and all that, that
right.
is one process. And then there is the soybean biodiesel, which, you know, started this whole thing off. And that's what you get all your certifications off of.
That's the one that you're saying is the 24-hour process?
Yes. It takes, you know, from the time they start to the time they finish is 24-plus hours.
Okay, but yours are made from soybeans but not soybean oil. That's the distinction.
Mine is made from the whole soybean from the time it enters the reactor to the time it is an oil, a gas, and a fertilizer is 8.5 minutes.
Okay, so other than that distinction, what are the other key characteristics or differences between biodiesel and biofuel, as you call it?
Well, biodiesel has a cloud point, or it starts to freeze or coagulate, 36, 32, you know, 28. Let's give it a break, 25 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Mine will not freeze at minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So when you're talking about fuel oil or using it up north, you know, you don't have to preheat mine. You don't have to treat it. You just, you know, put it in the tank and go.
Okay. Now, your materials say that you can use it in 100% of diesel engines and 50-50 blend for gasoline engines without any retrofitting or modifications.
That is correct, and we're doing that every day in our plant in Natchez, Mississippi, and you know, anyone's invited to come out and see it firsthand.
Well, so are you really offering this as a solution to global warming, and is it available today?
It is available today. We're building as fast as humanly possible. Our big problem is the demand is just overwhelming us, and we're starting to actually put people off, because it's physically impossible to meet the demand we're coming up against.
So what are the big obstacles now, just building a processing plant or two or three?
Well, we're going to start off by making electricity, green energy, And we figure that's the best way for our stockholders, because right now we can produce in gas turbines electricity from a bio waste stream. You see, U.S. Sustainable Energy Corporation makes a 737 fertilizer out of the soybeans, and then the waste byproduct from that is the oil and gas mixture, which we turn around and make the biofuel out of. And by making this, because it's a waste byproduct used from a secondary process, according to the green certificates and the green powers to be, it is considered green energy, which biodiesel or ethanol is not. So there's a lot of tax credits, green tag credits, NOx credits, that we find to be the best way to get into the market right now, because quite frankly, it's going to be probably 3, 4, 5 years before we have a official ASTM standard. We're not like anything that's out there. We produce a natural gas type substance. Natural gas, for instance, is 1,000 BTUs per standard cubic foot. Ours is 1,908 BTUs per standard cubic foot. And it burns so clean, you can't even see it. I mean, if you were to come out here, Betsy, you'd tell me that that's not burning until I took a newspaper and put it over the top of it, and it's totally engulfed.
Okay, so what about clogging? Is that an issue? And what about cost in our last minute and a half?
Well, we don't have all the glycerins and other things that are in biodiesel, all right? And we are actually filtered down to less than a half of 1 micron. Now, a gas turbine or a jet engine only has to have be filtered down to 10 microns. We're down to half of 1 micron as far as that goes. And as far as the clogging goes and the cost... Okay, we can bring down the cost of energy, the cost of fuel, substantially. Let's just say that we could go back to the $1.25, $1.50 range and still be very profitable.
Okay, so if our listeners would like to find out more about this process and check you out, where can they go?
To ussec.us.
Thank you, John Rivera, CEO and President of U.S. Sustainable Energy Corporation, and he is bullish on the future of soybean fuel. Perhaps it is the answer to our challenges, at least some of them, in curbing our emissions. You decide. Thanks for joining us for this edition.